listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
You love to hear a story again and again about these young brothers from the city you win, like juice and gin in the city we blend amongst the hustle, titties and skin, 50s and rams. Y'all know the spree wells and trucks that's detailed, heartless females that want to ride in them, felt the south side venom and raw highs and denim, pimp minds collide with them, a system that tries victims we living in. My man got the fast lane pivoting on the block, white selling like Eminem on the block, it jump off like Kim and them. On the block, it's hot, you can feel it in your skin, and shorties get the game with no instructions to assemble in. Eyes bright, you can see the fighters dimming them. Call my man Cuzzo, cause I'm kin to him. He trying to stay straight. The streets is bending them. I walked in the crib. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tells podcast with your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on what appears to be a Saturday.
Yes, it is.
Saturday morning, feedback time. You guys know what that means.
Yep,
time
yep.
For us to talk about all the things that you guys sent us over the break we had here. Had
a little bit of a break. Y'all missed us. We was getting all kinds of shit.
Yeah, we went to Seattle, and a lot of people know about that. If we have time, we might cover that on today's show. But yeah, we went to Seattle since the last time we've been on the air. We've been to been podcasting. Karen was on Chris's podcast and Sandy Check podcast on MTR Network.
Yes, sir.
I reviewed SZA's album with our friend Nick Jew over at What's the Tea.
Mm-hmm. We reviewed Star Wars.
Yeah, we've still done some premium stuff for those who pay. You know, we had our Star Wars review yesterday. I did Balls Deep and pregame for premium people, and also did a review of Molly's Game. We're getting our screeners this time of year, so you guys know we're reviewing some of those artsy movies.
Yeah, I know. We got some more reviews that we got to do, and we're gonna be pumping them out pretty soon.
Yeah, so we're working, but you know, also took the time to take a break. At any rate, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. And if we like them, we'll read them on the show, on the air, live, when we do our feedback show. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And without further ado, let's get into this podcast. Okay, so we had some people that come through and hook us up with some money.
Yes.
We call these people donors. Okay, they donate to the show.
Yes, they do.
They don't get anything for it. Okay, they don't. This is not premium. This is not the same as any of that. It's just people that look out for us and give a couple dollars every month.
Yeah, y'all keep the lights on, y'all keep the walls painted in the sanctuary. You know, we thank you.
And what we like to do is give them a shout out, and I'm gonna give them a shout out right now.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
That's right, it's a new day. Time to give some shout outs. Shout out to Marcus E. Marcus E, recurring donator. Thank you.
Hey, baby.
Cedric W. Thank you very much, Ced. Mm-hmm. Preston F. Thank you so much.
That's a new name.
No,
I'm sorry, people.
Melanike I. We had a one-time donation from Yvette. Thank you so much, Yvette, for the one-time donation.
Mm-hmm.
We got another one-time donation from Simone E, who put as her message, love y'all.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Thank you. Kibi R, hit us with the recurring. Thank you so much, Kibi.
Mm-hmm.
Noel W, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
B. Cole, recurring.
Thank you.
Linwood C, thank you very much, Linwood.
Yes.
Derek LW, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Harold W, no relation.
Okay.
Sabrina J, thank you, Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina.
Falcons Diva hooked us up.
Hey, baby.
Let's see who else we got here. Jason F, thank you very much, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Demetria, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina J, again, okay. Thank you, Sabrina, coming up all the pockets. Halacue H, thank you.
Yes.
Aisha Y. Bambi H.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia D.
Hey, Cynthia.
Damian Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
Kyle K, thank you very much. Joy M, thank you so much.
Hey, Joy.
Autumn W, my brother Rodney, thank you, Rodney. Celeste M, thank you, Celeste. Design T, thank you.
Thank you.
Alfonso M. Shirley Wong, Esquire, please say the Esquire.
You better, she got all them letters.
Ashia B, thank you very much. Kelly C, thank you. Quinones, I hope it rhymes right. Quinones D, thank you.
Oh, hey, baby.
Jane M. Lisa D. Tiffany B.
Hey.
Billy M.
That's not an old man's name.
Our girl Ray Sonny, right on the President's Show.
I know.
Chance H. Regina G. I think that is new. I don't remember that name.
Me either.
Tanya S. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dana W.
Yes.
Our man Wonga, all the way from Australia, down under.
I know, right?
What you up to, mate? Some Samuel H. Thank you.
Yes.
Felicity F. Thank you. Alexis H. June from Harlem. Shout out to Harlem.
Hey, June.
Cameron Mace, please stop beefing. We like both of y'all. What are you doing?
Come on.
And that's everybody. Play me out, Kurt.
Alright,
let's get into all the people that left us 5-star reviews, guys. There's a lot of you. It's been a couple weeks. And remember, as always, we don't read anything less than 5 stars.
Mm-mm.
And we don't read anything that's not positive.
Man, we sure don't. Give them the rules.
Still required subscribing by Ola Dube. Olu Dube. Dube. Wait. Olu Bode. Okay, there you go. Sorry. 5 stars. Still the best twosome delivering news that I can use on a daily basis. I'm very thankful that they exist in this needed podcast space. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, baby.
We got this one from Neptune Vegas. You have to love Rod the most, Trife, and Queen Karen. 5 stars. I heard you two doing a guest appearance on another podcast. I had to check out the Blackout Tips for myself. I was instantly hooked. I love the long episodes because they helped me get through my long runs during my marathon training. I even saved up some of the Walking Dead recast to listen to during the marathon to keep me entertained for 26.2 miles. TVGWT is a great way to get an unapologetic black perspective on today's top news stories with a little sword ratchetness thrown in on the side. Keep up the good work. We will.
We will.
Thank you. Tippy 88 says 5 stars. Love this show. It gets me through my day while helping me enjoy being a white woman of color even more. Love you guys. 5 hearts as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Two Twisted TV says puntastic podcast. 5 stars.
Not fantastic.
This is a great podcast that gets me through many a boring work day. Come for Rod's puns, stay for Karen's attempts at puns.
Right, because I'm not good at them. I don't know the rules.
The terrible news of the world today is a little bit more tolerable when these two awesome people are delivering it in that funny, sarcastic way. Listen now, smiley face.
Thank you.
Mighty Flora says necessary listening. 5 stars. Started listening to them because they were featured guests at PodCon.
Shout out to you, baby.
Come through PodCon.
I know. Welcome, baby. We hope you stay.
And even with all the shows I added before, even during PodCon, they are now my number one listen.
Thank you.
I don't even watch the shows they do recaps for, and I still listen to half of the episodes anyhow. Smart, insightful, necessary listening. Oh, thank you. Aww, Mighty Flores.
You ain't the only one. A lot of people call it story time. They be like, I don't know what's going on, I'm listening. Or they got coworkers or family and friends that watch it. So now when they say certain names, they are actually in the loop, so they can use our recap to actually be in the loop so they, you know, can feel a part of the gang without actually taking the time to watch.
Right.
We do it so some of y'all don't got to.
Yep. All right. Let's see who else we got here. Steve_HU2006 says TVGWT 5 stars. I've been listening for about 2 years. I've tried to stop, but you just keep pulling me back. Pretty much a baseline for anything else I listen to. The Game of Thrones and Walking Dead recaps are the best in the industry. Trust me, I've vetted several. And the content is already on point. Never been more interested in someone else's lunch experiences than with Rod and Karen. Sidebar, Siri tried to make y'all's name Todd and Kareem. Hashtag Apple ain't woke. Hashtag Siri stay sleep. Well, you know what? If it was Todd with 1D and Kareem, I feel like that's still pretty woke. It assumed we was pretty black.
Correct.
Todd and Kareem would be a totally different show.
Yeah, it would be. I'd become sports or something.
Ron and Karen for President, 5 stars by Aphrodite Brown, who says, I'm a long time listener, but this is my first review of the Blackout Tips. I love this show. Ron and Karen give me a much needed escape from my daily grind and have people not wanting to sit next to me on the train during my commute because of uncontrolled laughter. When you add in things like their Walking Dead recaps, you have a show that hits on all levels and it can't miss. If you aren't singing along to the segment theme music or don't find yourself at least once daily asking if you're in your Karen voice, what's happening here? I assume you hate kittens and rainbows. Subscribe to this podcast, listen to this podcast, get your life, people. All right, so we having some robot voice. All right, let me refresh the chat room. We'll be right back. I don't want to lose anything. You guys showed up on a Saturday afternoon. You guys deserve good audio quality.
I know y'all don't need us roboting it, and that don't affect people listening to a recording. It just affect the people in the chat room.
Right, so they gonna get the good show they deserve.
Yeah, they is. They showed up live.
All right, should be back on. Great podcast, 5 stars by Trandin, who says Rod and Karen are awesome. Love them and their insight. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to this, now we don't normally read the 5-star reviews on Stitcher too, but Stitcher's down today. They get on maintenance.
Okay.
But we did get some reviews from, we got one from Canada, I believe.
Woo-hoo!
Always Worth the Listen by Cam and Jay from Canada. What I like most about this show is the segments and the way they discuss relevant topics that should be discussed openly. Thank you. You know, we try to.
Thank you.
And I think that's the only one from Canada. All right, yeah, that's it. All right, cool. So that's our 5-star reviews. Karen, thank tell them how you. To leave, how they can leave a 5-star reviews and get a 5-star review and get theirs read on the show.
You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. To leave us a review on iTunes, go to your any iOS device, go to your iTunes and type in the Black Guy Who Tips. Up in the top left hand corner, you see 5 stars. Touch the 5 stars and leave us a review. Just know that iTunes does not accept cuss words, so that includes nigger, and any other things that Steve Jobs finds offensive. So, you know, use stars and we can kind of get around that. iTunes does not let you know that it don't post your reviews, and we don't know that it didn't post your reviews. So we just telling people one way to do that, because I left a review and y'all never read it, and that's why, because iTunes had censors it. And if you don't have an iOS device, you can actually make an iTunes account and leave us a 5-star review that way. It's not hard, and if you're having problems with that, you can actually YouTube that. That's how some people left us a 5-star review. They actually YouTube how to leave us a 5-star review through iTunes, and it'll walk you through the steps for that. And not only leave us 5-star reviews, leave any of your favorite other podcasts 5-star reviews too, because these are the things that help them get up the rankings, help people recognize them, help them get sponsors, and show love, because a lot of times when people love something, they are less likely to tell somebody that they love them. But people that hate shit, they show up in full force to let you know they hate shit. So we thank you for all the 5-star reviews that people have left, all the 5-star reviews for people that are leaving. And somebody at PodCon was like, look, I left y'all a 5-star review before I showed up, because I didn't want to hug Rod and Karen and know that I didn't leave a 5-star review. So baby, I thank you for doing that, because 5-star reviews mean the world to us. And for those of you that want to leave us a 5-star review on Stitcher Radio, you can actually the best way to do it is actually type in to Google the Black Guy Who Tips Stitcher reviews and click on it, and the same thing up in the top left hand corner, you'll see leave 5-star reviews, and you can leave us a review that way on your iOS devices. It actually allows you to leave a review straight on that page, but we don't see those, though, for some reason. I don't know why those reviews don't go to our actually 5-star review page. So if you actually want to leave us a review on our 5-star review page that we could actually read on the show, that's how you do it. And also, if you left a review on Stitcher Radio and you're like, well, I left y'all a review and I didn't see it, please check your junk email, because Stitcher actually needs an email confirmation before it allows it to post. So if you left one in the past and you were like, well, I left one and I didn't see it, please check your junk mail and confirm your email, and then it will post. Thank you.
These have been your announcements.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go back. The last feedback show we did was December the 2nd, 14 days ago. It's called Karen, our fave, because sometimes people write up here and they're like, sorry Rod, but Karen's my favorite. I'm like, that's fine. Like, why would you apologize for that? Brooklyn Shoebae says, Karen is my fave. She's younger than me, but she's like a southern auntie in my head.
Oh, thank you, baby.
EVE says, I was wondering if Melissa, could check in from time to time to let us know that she's okay. Melissa is the woman who emailed us about her abusive ex and leaving him and all the things that entails going with that. She's a young lady who wrote in about filing a restraining order on her ex. He sounds dangerous, and I hope everything works out for her.
Me
us too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Melissa, if you want to write back in, feel free. Mm-hmm. You know, but and you don't have to give us all the details and stuff. Mm-mm. But if you just want to let people know you're okay,
right,
from time to time, that's absolutely fine. I hope you are doing okay.
Me too, baby.
Can you dance well? Was the poll yes, no, and I don't dance. 36.5% of our audience says yes, they can dance well. 46% says no, they cannot dance well. And 17% says they don't even dance. Yep. Well, you know, that's what they said. Goody Mob said people don't dance no more. All they do is this. All they do is this.
That's your group, ain't it? The non-dancing group.
I don't dance.
Yeah, but I said that's Roger's group. The non-Roger never dance.
Not when people are around.
Right, because if it's me and him, it's a different story. Yeah.
Sometimes I dance when you're not here. Like, I have entire routines.
What?
But that's for me.
I mean, let me in on this white woman life. I mean, you just be dancing like nobody cares.
You don't want to dance the songs I play anyway. You don't want to get down to Shake It Off.
I like that song. Yeah. Taylor Swift, problematic at times. I do like that song.
1573, How to Fix Arby's was the episode, which I did think that was a great idea, and I hope they do it. I think every time I pull up to Arby's now, I just wish Ving Rhames was talking to me.
Come on.
EVE says, what is going on with all the Arby's slander? By the way, let me tell y'all when the jig is all the way up in the air, okay? Like, everybody look in, directly up into the sun, because that's where the jig is with this comment. What is going on with all this Arby's slander? As if she don't know. They have several delicious menu items.
She didn't even tell us what it was. You know, when people go, I love McDonald's, I like the Big Mac, I like the, you know, the chicken tenders, you know, you normally give us a list.
Right.
You be like, on that item, random items.
Several delicious menu items. What, Dr. Pepper?
Who are you trying to convince?
Straws. What they got? Napkins? But I guess I should have expected that from someone who disrespects the Kit Kat bar. In my best Unella Deceptor voice, shame. Yeah, ain't no shame in my game. You know you don't like no damn Arby's because you couldn't name one sandwich. Didn't even write up and say, oh, they have a delicious beef and cheddar melt. No, you read several delicious items. Imagine that on a Yelp review.
Right.
What did you eat? Several delicious items on the menu. I mean, of various import.
I mean, can you derive them? It was an array of things. What?
Yes. They... It was a veritable smorgasbord of
yes!
choice. It was, the variety was just amazing. Amazing variety. Beautiful gowns.
Yes, beautiful gowns.
Didn't name not one sandwich. Mm-mm. The fact that you don't know, it's a fast food place. If you don't, Karen, what do you like about Burger King?
The Whopper.
The Whopper, right.
The only thing I about eat.
What you like about Popeyes?
The chicken.
Right, spicy. Everybody know that. What you like about Wendy's?
Ooh, the double cheeseburger.
The double cheeseburger.
And the chicken,
okay.
the spicy chicken sandwich.
Me too. Spicy with pickles. Number 6. I know the number. That's how good it is. Okay? You niggas talking about, right? Generally, they have several delicious things that are of quality. Hell out of my face, Evie. Don't write up here with no devil's foolishness and lies. Okay?
At least name something. Come
we
on,
are,
dog.
We are a podcast of the truth. Okay? Right up here when you know a menu item to be able to name.
At least I know the potato cakes.
Didn't even take a time to Google a menu item. That's sad. That is sad.
Here is a picture of an arrangement of items.
Because you knew we would have tried them already and be like, no, the Arby's meal ain't good. What are you talking about? You ain't fooling nobody. Anyway, the poll was, should they take sex off of the census form? Yes, no, or just add some more boxes. because, you know, the whole thing with the UK was like, it's just too much.
Oh, they're like, it's too much work.
You mean
it was like, fuck it, just no more controversy, take it off.
It's things beyond boy and girl. I do declare
my mind just exploded. We no more worry about that,
right? So they just went like, maybe we should just take everything off. And you know, that's one way to handle it. But, you know, I was like, why not just add more boxes or even let people write in certain things if you just don't understand? I mean, I don't,
right?
I mean, because if anything,
then you get a real figure.
Yeah. And it's probably more work for the census anyway. They probably could use the extra work anyway. The poll results, 7% said yes, just take sex off of it completely, it doesn't really matter anyway. No, 11.6% says, you know, leave it on. And 81% was just like, add some more boxes, which I think is where I'm at.
That's all you gotta do. I mean, you mean tell me you can't hit the edit button and add two more checks?
Yeah, that
check just boxes.
Seem like
having many more check boxes.
Seem like it would be easy now.
You know, I mean, if you really want to be lazy, just do male, female, and write in. Like, if you really just want to be lazy. But
like,
I
just
mean,
imagine if race said race, white or non-white. Like, we'd be like, man, if you don't add some more fucking boxes.
Yeah, right. You know, non-white is like a really big circle of right. People of different backgrounds and ethnicities.
Right. Just add some more.
Right.
And now it's people in the chat making up sandwiches at Arby's. And none of us can verify because none of us eat Arby's. We don't know.
Ah!
Evie is in the chat. They have good chicken sandwiches. Okay. The chicken sandwiches, you don't know the name of
it. I mean, is it buffalo? Is it regular? Right. Is it spicy?
Is it the chopped chicken? What is it?
I mean, you said that they got the meat shows that they don't even know their menu. When you look at it, but like, we got meats. What kind of meats, bitch?
This how Hansel and Gretel got killed.
Right?
I have delicious treats. Oh, that's all I need to hear.
It's treats, ginger, well, I mean, it could be gingerbread. Right. It could be bubble gum. I mean, peppermints. A lot of shit is treats.
Candies and all kinds of confections. Anonymous says on episode 1574, so you're engaged to a racist. We read this advice column where this woman asked for advice because she was engaged to a racist person. It was like, nigga, you must be racist. How you gonna make that work?
What?
Oh man. Anyway, Anonymous says, first, you just want to make something clear. Masseuse is like calling a black person colored or Negro. You can call us an MT, massage therapist, LMT, CMT, or therapist. Never masseuse. First of all, CMT, isn't that country music television?
I don't.
I like never masseuse in caps too. Like, okay, so this is, listen, I don't want to be insensitive. I don't want to be insensitive. But, and I'm going to try to use the right words. Okay, I'm going to try. But for real, this the hill you going down? It never masseuse. Is as offensive as colored or Negro.
Ah!
Is that what it is? Okay.
Because that's what most people know the genre as. Like, if you ask most people, that's what they're going to say.
Okay.
They might, you know, some people say massage therapist. Some people say masseuse. Some people, you know.
I'm going to just give you the Larry David okay on that one, dog.
That's a fight, baby, because.
Okay. That's what you say. Never heard that before.
They taking the word back.
Right. I appreciate that.
You go head on, baby.
Can only y'all refer to y'all as masseuse?
I know, right? Nobody else can say it?
When we not around, when customers not around, y'all like, what's up, my masseuse? Oh, I'm just chilling, my masseuse. You know how we do, baby. Just over here massaging, you know what I'm saying?
Massaging and shit. You know how we do.
Oh, you know what it is. Play a rub some oil on the backhand side. But if you say
good
something.
Good luck with that, baby.
Good, hey.
I will try my best to remember, but I ain't making no promises, baby.
Right. Like, and then MT, LMT, CMT, I feel like they already, these initials are taken.
Medical terms.
These initials are already taken for stuff. But I will start calling y'all massage therapists from now on. Did y'all all go to therapy school? Do y'all have degrees in massage therapy? I'm asking because I don't know, and I come from an ignorant place. I'm not doubting you. I just want to know.
I know there's some form of a schooling.
Maybe someone can make a sketch or something. But I just had the funniest idea of someone introducing themselves as a therapist to like people that went to like PhDs in school and got therapy, And then them being like, so what kind of therapy do you do? And it's like, oh, massage therapy. And them being like, man, get the fuck out of my table. Oh, this is for therapists, real therapists. I bet it's therapists beef within that system.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. But they both do therapy.
It's like when you find out Umar is a doctor. It's like, oh, he a doctor? I don't know about all doctors not equal, you know?
No, not in his instance, no.
Anyway, I will call y'all massage therapists from now on. I'm sorry.
I will try
for my ignorance.
I will try my best to remember, baby.
Massage Envy, Massage Heights, and Massage Green and other alike are spas, retreats, and not a massage parlor. Well, then they got it in their name.
Yeah, that's false advertisement then.
Yeah, you can't look, we can't possibly know to keep up with all the inner workings of the beefs in the massage world. Mm-mm. You tell me it's Massage Envy, I'm like, oh, they do massages in there.
That's all I know.
You know, I don't know if they therapists or not. People aren't educated about many things, but as an MT, we hear and experience sexual comments and words like these are offensive and demeaning. Licensed massage therapists go, wait, offensive and demeaning? Are you serious? Masseuse is offensive and demeaning? How have I never heard of this?
Brand new to me.
This is amazing. Thank you. I had no idea about this knowledge. They are offensive and demeaning. Licensed massage therapists go to school and have student debt, not to give blowjobs and hand jobs, and definitely not to rape people. But this is why most places choose not to hire male therapists. But Rod is right. When people are involved in mass numbers, the probability of fucked upness goes up. I hate that my career passion is being disrespected because of shitty people and a dirty company. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that one, man. I that sucks. And I'm sure you do deal with a lot of stereotypes and shit, because like there's entire like genres of porn designed around just the idea of the fantasy of the massage, you know, of violating a person, or you know, turning them on so much that they end up having sex and shit. So I, you know, and I guarantee men walk in there expecting women to do shit. I guarantee that there are male massage therapists that walk in there and, you know, do, well, we know they do some fucked up shit. The thing that bothers me more is that a company would have policies in place to protect those abusers.
Right.
Cause I don't think it's fair to think that there would be a 0% of, you know, whatever, of just no one's ever gonna fuck up, like, or do something purposely and abuse people. Someone's always gonna do it. But if your industry or a company, a major company, the biggest company in the industry goes, yeah, we're gonna turn the other way, then yeah, that's pretty much condoning it. But I will try not to call you a masseuse. I did not know that was even the M word. I did not know that was even a thing. So you sounded very upset. Anonymous says, racist guys love black girls. My DMs be white dicks and they pages be racist as fuck. Oh yeah, I don't know if Anonymous listened to the episode. I think they read the title. It was like, yes, I have many racist dudes tried to engage me.
I believe you, because a lot of the places where people quote unquote believe that racism is the highest, racism is all across America. Right. But you know, a lot of places where they quote unquote pass rules quicker than anybody else, Pornhub be like, hey, y'all like Ebony, y'all like black women, you know, y'all actually like the people that you're trying to oppress.
Yeah,
we'll put it like this, you like to fuck them.
Right. It's that forbidden fetish and shit that I think a lot of people have, where it's like, I'm not supposed to like this, but then still, once they get out in the streets and they talk policy and they talk opinions and stuff, they get right back to racism and shit.
Come on.
Anyway, but that wasn't what that column was about.
But we thank you for letting us know that the what we think is real.
Eve writes in, I once dated a guy who took me to meet his father. On the front line was a giant Confederate flag, although my ex claimed his dad was just a Civil War buff.
Mm-mm.
How come people always say that? Oh, I'm just a buff of the Civil War. That's why I got Confederate flags. It's about heritage. It's not about hate. Well, how come that side? It's two whole sides. What about the good side? You know what I mean? That's like being like, I'm a Star Wars fan. What you keep in your house? You know, just like, the Empire, armor, you know, Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, you know. you know, Palpatine and shit, you know, like, you know, the Star Wars. Like, nah, that's the bad side, man. What you talking? So you fuck with the Sith only? Like, that's essentially just being like, I fuck with the Sith.
Yeah, I've never had to experience that, but yeah, we roll up into the Confederate flag. I'm not even getting out of the motherfucking car. Take me home immediately. I don't give a fuck about what's happening up in that house.
I remember one time when we were younger, my brother and his friend, they didn't have cars. They couldn't drive yet. And I just got a license. And I was just a completely not socially inept, but like, I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't do shit to be cool. I was dating Karen, so I wasn't like trying to get girls or anything like that. But they begged me one day, just begged, like, can you take us to see our girlfriends? I'm like, no. And they begged. And then finally I was like, all right, man, I'll take y'all by there for a little bit. And so we go to this neighborhood, not very far from ours, and we're driving down, and we're getting kind of lost looking. This is before cell phones and stuff. We're getting kind of lost looking for the place. You know, I'm looking around, and we go too far down the street that they live on, and like, there's two or three houses with Confederate flags on the outside and everything. Yeah,
and that neighborhood is known for that. That's why I didn't fuck with that area.
And I was like, wait, is this a white neighborhood? Like, first of all, and I was like, are these girls white? What's going on with this? But yeah, they was like, oh man, just turn around. And I was like, see, this, I was only like 16 or so. But this one of the first time moments when I realized how much your dick is just not your friend, because to me, I'm like, oh, deal breaker. I don't come to your neighborhood.
No, I do not.
If you want to visit me, you can come check me out. If you want to talk to me, come talk to me. But I don't personally fuck with your neighborhood and the Confederate flag waving, like, big, like, flags bigger than the United States flags. Just right. Poles.
Mm-mm. That's how you get, they fuck around and find you out here in the woods hung by a tree. No, thank you.
Yeah, like, the fucking, the theme music to Get Out might as well start playing.
Come on, dawg.
Chicky Lisa.
Right. You fuck around and they won't be able to find you. You'd be buried in somebody's backyard.
Right. So I turned around and was about to leave, and then they found the house like right on my way out, and so they stopped in for a little bit and stuff. But I just still remember that experience being like, yo, this, like, I don't feel safe here. This doesn't feel like a friendly place. And I think a lot of people who fly that flag, that's the message they want to send,
right?
You know, too many people give folks the benefit of the doubt as if they're just confused. They're not confused. They would like for me as a black person to see that sign and think I should not tread here. Anyway,
that's the whole purpose of it, and that's the whole point. So I don't want to hear no more motherfucking excuses. I don't want to hear they're confused. I don't want to hear they're lost. I don't want to hear they're ignorant. No, that sign is to say no brown people and no niggers allowed. That's what the fuck that sign means. And unless you got a goddamn museum up, I don't want to be there.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that you're a Civil War buff. It doesn't.
No,
you know, when I asked them about that when we got there, like, because I think that was it was just a shady situation. Anyway, I don't feel like talking about the rest, but yeah. So for that woman to be dating an openly racist man, she's also racist, and she knows it. She was just looking for validation from someone to tell her she's still a good person. No, lady, you are trash, and so is your trash ass man. Ain't no damn dick in the world that's good enough for me to tolerate that bullshit. Yeah, I just don't know how I'm supposed to view you as a good person when you're considering a future with this man. What do you think your kids are gonna learn? Because people don't grow out of that kind of racism, and especially if they go unchallenged. Like, you think it reminds me, I was reading, like I said, I've been reading this Ta-Nehisi Coates book, but he says something like how racism in America is a feature, it's not a bug. You know, that's a coder, that's like a analogy for like tech industry, right? Like, a bug is something that, you know, that you don't mean to happen, that you try to fix, right?
Like a virus?
Yeah, like, say a bug, or just a bug. Like, okay. You know, you play a video game and you're like, oh, this glitch in this game is
okay,
supposed to do that.
Okay, yes.
And they fix those things. Correct. You get an update, right?
All
right. But a feature is why you buy the game. And a feature is something that is instrumental and essential to the experience, right?
Okay.
Racism is a feature in America. It's not,
yes,
a bug.
It is. No.
So we treat it like a bug. We treat it like, oh, we will fix this instance of racism and that will fix the problem.
No.
But the whole foundation is laid upon this idea from inception that one race was inferior and deserved to be enslaved and all this stuff, and it's never worked this way out of our policies, out of our morality, out of our daily lives and stuff. And so we're constantly surrounded by this shit. And so I think when you hear people say stuff like, I'm just a Civil War buff or something, I hear, I am a person who doesn't mind, at minimum, I don't mind the racism of the side that lost the Civil War. And I don't find anything problematic about raising them up as heroes.
Right.
That's a problem for me.
Yes, it is.
Have you ever dated a racist was the poll. Yes, no, I've never dated, and I'm dating one right now. Yes, 10.5% of our audience has dated a racist.
Yeah, because sometimes people don't realize it till later on in the relationship. Like, sometimes it don't always, quote unquote, show.
Yeah, I mean there's only one way to find out, kind of,
when, right? It happens, right? When you're confronted, and then you need to make a decision.
Yeah, most people don't lead with it. I've never dated. 14.5% of my audience has never dated anyone. Well, if that's something you do want to do, you know, hopefully it'll happen. If not, good for you. You know, good, nothing wrong with that.
I'm trying to tell you, sometimes being by yourself is the best gift in the world. People don't want to consider that. You don't have to consider nobody else but you.
75% of our audience says no, they've never dated a racist, and 0% of our audience says I'm dating one right now. So good for y'all. I'm glad nobody's dealing with that shit currently. That answered the poll. That would suck. We had episode 1575, Armpit Vaginas. The scourge and the menace that is, so many women are just dealing with this constantly. I was looking at Karen the other day, like, look at those disgusting armpit vaginas.
Well, you're gonna see all the lips flapping.
We had comments. D. Ramsey, PH Dunn says, that young man's letter to Santa was priceless. I am not telling you my name. Hashtag only doing this class assignment. Lauren in Pittsburgh says, in the white people news, is that beatboxer saying pumpkin spice? Because that's what I'm hearing. Yeah, a lot of people did not like that Billie Jean remix that white dude did. They were not a fan. I thought it was okay. Classic R&B lover says, hi Rod and Karen, two things. One, that little boy's letter to Santa was just too much and is exactly the type of thing a little kid would say. Two, hearing you two talk about Teen Titans Go so much, when I recently came across a marathon leading up to the premiere of the 200th episode,
yes,
I decided to watch since it was my day off. Man, why did I do that? I have fallen in love and become obsessed with the show, watching as many back episodes as I can. Rod, Karen, I want you to know I blame you for this development in my life. I think you mean thank us. Because there's no way in hell a damn near 50-year-old woman with no children should be going around singing waffles, 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 waffles.
Yes, honey. What I'm gonna tell you right now, I keep up on all the kids stuff. If it's on Nickelodeon, Nick Jr., Cartoon Network, I know all about, it's a bunch of them. And I just love and adore them. And I don't have any children, honey. I be singing along with the kids and stuff like that. And it also helps you get a connection with children. Because just because you don't have no children don't mean you don't cross them. So when you cross them, you have something in common with children. Because a lot of times people think,
What is that? What are you doing?
Excuse me. I'm just enjoying these sour grapes you brought.
What you got there? Sour grapes. You got a grip of sour grapes. Ooh, them sour grapes. You brought them sour grapes.
Sour grapes.
Sour grapes.
Listen, where are you gonna find a cartoon that does a pitch perfect mockery of Cameo in fucking 2017, dog?
Come on.
I don't know where they get it from. Like, the only thing better than this, in my opinion, for music is American Dad. Everything else pales in comparison to those two.
Yeah, American Dad is good too.
American Dad's song 1990s R&B mockeries
is
among
the
greatest,
especially with Steve. You'll be watching, he'll break out and do a boy band video after Blue, and he's shirtless flinging his shirt and shit. You're like, what the hell happened?
When they got when they got this, because they replaced the actor who did Steve's voice.
Okay.
And when they got him and they started doing more songs for this actor.
Yes.
And listen, guys, they have so many great parodies and videos. One of my favorites is have you guys ever seen the Boys 12 episode?
You know I have.
It's where they try to create a boy band,
like the pop band,
and that the secret is they need more and more members.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody had more members, so they started making a band. They made a band that had 12 fucking members.
Mm-hmm.
And it made absolutely no fucking sense. Mm-mm. How many people was in the band? But listen, the song was kind of jamming though.
Yes, it was. Are you gonna?
I'm trying to put it on screen. I'm gonna try to put it on screen for you guys to hear.
It is the absolute best.
Let me know when it shows up.
I will.
But yeah. Oh, because I didn't hit the share button. That would help. Give me 1 second. Let me try this again. But yeah, even like Boys 12 was one. They had they have another one that I love where Steve does a Trapped in the Closet.
Yes, now it's the picture in picture.
Oh, it's picture in picture? Okay.
I mean, yeah, I guess you're sharing 2 screens.
Okay, let me see.
Because you have one on.
It's not showing me? Or it is showing?
We're seeing 2 screens. We're showing us again, and then the video is behind it, so I think you need to X out that one on top.
Oh, my screen is only showing one.
Oh,
okay. Uh-oh. Oh. All right, let me close it.
Okay.
And see what happens. What about now? What's happening?
We just see us. I see us.
Okay, so I got rid of it. So it's no picture at all.
No picture at all.
Okay, give me 1 second. I'm going to bring it back up. Yeah. That was weird.
Cuz when you seen it, it was one like one frame, but it was like a picture in the picture, so one of them just need to be X down.
All right, coming right back. And we're going to try this again. Sorry for this delay, guys.
Yeah.
I want y'all to see this.
There you go.
All right, cool. So this is Boys 12 music video, and it's everything. Let's see if I can start it over from the beginning. This song is so good. Sorry. All right. Let's see. Hopefully the audio is good on this too, because I have no idea.
Girl, you're gonna feel a little prick.
Boyfriend before I dissed him.
In trouble, make you feel all bright and alert.
Lay down on a bed and take off your shirt.
Boys love the biggest boy band, and that's for sure.
More boys than I think you've ever seen before.
And don't think they can give you other things, but you'll get B12 when my man sings.
Oh girl, you need a shot to
B12.
I'm B1 and I'm tons of fun.
I'm B2, I wanna get with you.
I'm B3, wanna be with me.
I'm B4 and I'll make you sore.
I'm B5, I make you feel alive.
I'm
B6, I pick up sticks.
I'm B7, I'll take you to heaven.
I'm B8 and I am great.
I'm so fine.
I'm B10, I remember when.
I'm B11, I'm in love with B7.
I'm B12 and we're
Boy 12.
Yeah, you need a shot of
B12.
Oh, you
too. Mm-hmm.
And Constantine.
So fucking stupid.
Let's hear about the boy.
Bad boy.
Bad boy.
My sister died.
I'm sweet. I can
My say. Sister died.
I've got the penis of a man.
I'm hypoglycemic.
I'm grumpy.
I'm sleepy. And together we are
Boy 12.
Girl,
B12.
Wanna shot a boy's well, it's overdue.
I fucking love this show,
that
man.
That shit is the best.
Oh, but yeah, that
yeah, they had one where
and it's all product placement, cause like it's not even really a song, it's just them introducing these little girls. because you know little girls love boy bands, mm-hmm. to fucking like 12 different versions of a band of a boy.
Yes, one of them was a girl, one of them was a grown-ass man.
Yes. Oh man. Oh, but yeah, they have so, I mean, they had an episode about a hot tub. CeeLo was like the guest.
Yes, that one was really good. Then they had one,
it's like a Little Shop of Horror parody and the hot tub episode,
yeah, mixing yeah. together. Then they had one where they had went to like Saudi Arabia and Steve was like out in the middle of nowhere. That's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, it's called like We Miss Our Dad. Hold
yes.
on.
Yes.
Dad, we are so off.
We don't care. This is our show. This is the privilege of having your own show. We ain't got no producer going, y'all wasting motherfucking time today.
Right. We are so off topic right now.
But we want other people to enjoy the goodness.
Nobody showed up for this, but yeah, daddy's gone. That's it.
Yes.
Daddy's gone. Yes. But yeah, it's the same thing. Like, it looked like a RV videos in the desert. They got on all white, no shirts.
This is one of my favorite ones.
It's him and Roger the Alien.
Yes.
Thanks for letting us stay here, Mama.
Oh, baby. Is it another woman?
No. It's a hot tub.
When are we going home, Big Bro?
Been 3 hours since I saw you walk away from me. I didn't know the way and I didn't have the words to speak. But all I knew was Dad is gone. And we're not going home ever again.
Look at his abs.
And they ain't all white in the desert with no shoes on.
You're gonna find another father like you.
Now we won't, now we won't, now we won't.
Oh, Daddy, we're crying.
This is because of you.
I see you in my dreams at night.
Whatever did I do? Something just ain't right.
Yes!
I think it's because of you.
Daddy's gone, and we're not going home ever again.
Another. What are they doing? Another one was Rubbernecking. I don't know if you ever saw that one. It was
yeah, and also another good one was Christmas. Remember he was cutting up for Christmas?
Yeah, with Krampus.
Yes.
Hold on. I have to do rubbernecking. So they had this one where it was an episode where men kept getting caught looking at women. You know how men look at women when they're out.
Mm-hmm.
And they got caught. Stan got caught rubbernecking and he tried to lie about it. He crashed his car, everything.
Yes, he did.
But you know, his thing is like, cause Stan's conservative and all this stuff. So his thing is like, I don't look at other women. I have Francine, da da da. And so he's at work and his friends convince him how to do rubbernecking. And they made it a whole song.
The yeah. Black intern, kick it. Rubbernecking is the art of checking out women on the sly.
And if you do it right, you'll never get caught.
Well, my name's McGee. And soon you'll see, if you want a rubberneck, just listen to me. Because a peek don't hurt. If you want a scout skirt, you have to be covert. Listen up, you squirt.
Well, my name is Jackson. My technique's the purest. When I want a scout girls, I pretend I'm a tourist. You look around like you're super lost. Hold up a map, now you're peeking like a boss.
Yeah, I guess when I'm lost, I do look everywhere.
My name is Sanders, and I don't lie. The best way to peek, say there's something in your eye.
Wow, smooth.
Well, my name is Tiny Dick, and I have a little trick to look at a lady so she don't think I'm shady. I pretend that I'm dead, and I lie on a girl. When the nurses come up, I do the weekend at Barney's.
Never forget, women like to judge. Go on, give that cattiness a nudge.
So tell your woman that you hate a girl, and you can stare while all that hate unfurls.
Oh, hey, Francine, look at that terrible outfit.
Yeah, she looks like a hooker. Hooker, hooker, hooker.
When you want to take a look, hold up a book.
A newspaper will do to look at some boobs.
I think you're ready to join the crew. Because you're rubbernecking.
with the best. Rubbernecking with the best. Because you're rubbernecking with the best. Rubbernecking with the best.
That's my shit.
That's a, like, I like the Chris the Christmas one.
The Krampus one?
Yeah.
All right, hold on, let me find that real quick.
Yeah, that's one of my,
listen, Krampus gave you soul though.
Yes.
Krampus gave you straight up motherfucking soul. Oh man, it was so good. He took his Motown on your ass. Yeah, let me see if I can play that. I wonder who that voice actor was that did Krampus.
I don't know.
You can't do this! I'm an American child! I'm a treasure!
Well, you are Bavarian now! You need to be punished.
If you lay so much as one finger on me, I will punish.
Who are you talking to? I'm Krampus, bitch! I'll do whatever I please. This is my expertise.
Round the world, it's all the same. Children freeze when they hear my name. Krampus, please don't beat me so. But do I listen? Sadly, no. 80% of kids end up turning into dirtbags. I just laugh. But Steve, oh Steve, you are the worst. Slap that butt with a branch of birch. Shake them chains till your ears go numb. See now just what you become. Show you that life is pain. You haven't learned your lesson. You got to run. You got to run.
Swear to God, do not touch me.
You see, Steve, you don't know anything about pain.
Yes, I do.
Pain is having a girl named Sheila walk out on you in the middle of downtown Baltimore for some guy named Dennis who worked as a mechanic and made twice as much money as you.
What?
These are things you know nothing about, boy, but I'm here to show you.
I'm gonna punish you. You had experience all that I've been through. She just said the kid was mine. Just like Dennis. That damn Dennis. And because you haven't learned your lesson, you get to run. You get to run. You'll stay here until I see Jack.
He said Sheila said the kid was mine. What did it look like, Dennis? Where did that come from? Oh man. All right. I have to do one more. All right. So they had a whole episode called Trapped in the Locker.
Yes.
And they made it was like told through different vignettes. Like there would be like a scene and then Steve would just start singing out of nowhere. It was so good. It might be my favorite episode of all time, to be honest.
In the afternoon, I should be doing my homework inside my own room, but bad luck got me all messed up. I'm in the locker room and now I'm stuck. Guess I'm a goner now. See, I was walking, Snot was talking, I remembered something. I'd forgotten to grab my wallet because I was rushing. Then he said, I'm finna go to my grandma's house. I shrugged and I turned around, back to the school, but then who did I find?
Nice.
Oh no, this is not who I wanna see. Was running till I saw an opening, and now the whole soccer team's bound to freak. They're done practicing soccer. She's opening the locker. Wish there was someone to block.
And so what makes it so dope is like then the actual show would keep going, right? And then you get to another one and then the song comes out of nowhere again. So it's like it was like you almost had to watch the episode to get the full effect of why it's so dope.
Me out of the locker talking about what the hell you doing up in here. I'm like, hold up, you need to lower your voice. Do I make myself clear? She like, whoa, who you calling? I'm like you, she like who, I'm like you. Wait, hold up, let me explain all the shit I've been going through. Now let's start over, my name's Steve, it's nice to meet you ladies. Cut that bullcrap, Steve, we know that you've been acting shady. So listen close, cause this is what we are gonna do. When somebody's creeping, we calling you, not Jewel. Yes, Jewel. Oh no, Jewel looks like a grown-ass man. 10 years old.
250 pounds. She's coming at me, and this is when things start to get foolish. The roof caved in on top of her. Oh my God, it's Lewis.
Principal Lewis.
Yes.
Is the principal at school.
Talking about budget cuts. No pest control for months. I wasn't pervin' or looking at butts. I was in the AC, man, hunting for rats. I swear to God. That's your business, not my business. I don't need no update. I got a new woman, so we need to get our story straight. I mean, what the f*** you talking about, man? There's no weep. Steve, if my new woman hear about this, man, she gon' leave. Wait, what the heck was that? Sounded like a rat. Then he pulled out a Jericho 9mm, started busting. Just when I thought it couldn't get more scary, when he opened the door, the rat turned out to be Secretary Mary.
By the way, I'm not gonna play all of it, there's still like 5 minutes left, but listen, my favorite thing with this whole gag on the episode that week, when it ends, because they do this build up, you know, it's trapped in the closet, right? And it has all these parts, and by the end, everybody's shooting each other, people discover everybody cheating, all this right. mess. He's telling the story to his mom, who's, I think they're watching a basketball game, and then she's just like, what are you talking about, Steve? And then that was it. Like, she was like,
she wasn't even listening.
Like, this anyway, I love American Dad. I don't care who knows.
Yes.
But yeah, Teen Titans and American Dad, that's the best music we have.
They play 80s, 90s babies. They got you covered, because it'll be out the blue. You'll be like, I know that beat.
So if I could just make it as an ad for American Dad, you guys.
And Teen Tango. I said Teen Tango.
Yep. Armpit vaginas. How do you feel about them? That's the poll. Yummy, gross, or I don't care. 3% of y'all think armpit vaginas are yummy. 6% of y'all think they're gross. That is so sad. Grow up, guys. And 92% say, I don't care. Jane says, okay, this Billie Jean shout, you spin me round cover made me sad. How did he fuck up white zones? How? Shaking my head.
We can see your screen. I don't know if you
want y'all can still see it? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you want us to see it or not.
Nah, I was not trying to show it. But okay. At the same time, I didn't know.
Y'all, I mean, it didn't matter, but I just let you know. Yeah.
All right. Give me a second. All right. How about now?
Oh, it's gone.
All right. Let's get to 1576, which was the Alexandria Facebook group. Where we recap not the latest episode of Walking Dead, but the one before the latest. We will recap the latest one soon.
Mm-hmm.
The Alexandria Facebook group. Let me get to your feedback. We got 3 comments. Amani says, for me, Eugene is Theon of the Z-Pop. It's been fuck that irredeemable piece of shit for years, but somehow folks are still waiting for the sun, for some moment in the sun. But I will say that the actor was cooning it up so good it kept me entertained despite me hating him. That's a 5x5. That's 5x5. And shout out to y'all, look at my niggas, about to put airplanes in your bios.
I added some airplanes in my bio. Nothing but the planes. They don't say nothing, just planes.
I think I already had airplanes in
mine. Yeah, you beat me to the punch. I was like, yeah, let me do some planes in mine too.
See, ever since they flew us out for RevoteCon, I said airplanes going in the bio. Getting added to Spotify, flown out to conferences. Look how far y'all have come from huddling over one mic and Karen having that long ass Twitter name without them damn numbers.
Right, that nobody could remember.
It was actually a shorter Twitter name than this one.
Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah, but just a lot to remember.
It's been a pleasure watching you grow. Thanks, Amani.
Thank you.
D Ramsey PH Dunn says 5 stars and cosigns with Amani. Y'all moving on up like George and Wheezy. Eugene is a hot dog water mess. And hashtag I'm Negan. Safe travels to and from this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Evie says, at this point, I don't know who the biggest coward piece of shit is on the show, Eugene or Gregory. But it really doesn't matter because I hope they both die. I agree. They are trash.
Mm-hmm.
The poll was simple. Are you still rooting for Eugene to be redeemed? Because I did not realize it till we did this recap and I watched some other people talk about it on Twitter. Some people really think Eugene, there's somewhere to go with this character, and I think he's irredeemable. Yes, 6%, and hell no, fuck him, 94%. And Lakita says some people just aren't redeemable. Yeah,
like in real life, some people just gotta be like, you just not a good person, baby.
If they find a way to redeem this dude, like, more power to them, but I don't know how.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what he can do to he would have to kill Negan himself before I would even consider it. And lastly, 1577 TBGWT live at PodCon. So the PodCon people gave us the audio for our live show that we did. Mm-hmm. And we put it on the feed, and they said they might, they should be able to give us the audio from all the panels we were on.
Mm-hmm. And when they do,
when that happens, I'll put that on the feed as well, let you guys enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And we had some really fun panels and really insightful panels, and met people and stuff. It was really cool. D Ramsey PH Dunn says, yeah, love you both, blessings. Jane Mills says, hey y'all, so glad we get to hear the audio of your PodCon show, but I had to pause to leave this comment. Tip Nation, we need to hire Black Twitter to find Tanya4112, because we gonna beat her ass. Ain't never been to jail before, but I'm willing to go today. Okay, carry on. Yeah, I, you know what, it's not even worth it. I would not send people to harass that woman or whatever. She don't like the show, she has some hateful shit to say. That's on her, you know. Her life is probably trash, which is, I think, one of the reasons people lash out like that. We just a show giving our opinions. You know how many shows I've listened to where I disagree with something,
come
or,
on
or thought it was poor quality or whatever, and I just move on. There's so much entertainment in the world. I don't understand much how we end up in these situations where it's like, I've never left a one-star review for anything, really. Mm-mm, mm-mm. For anything. But that's just my personal philosophy.
Right.
Jamil, who we met in Seattle, he won one of the shirts. He's the one who guessed the race and said Dak Prescott's other side of his family. He says, I'm glad I put my introverted tendencies aside and made the trip to PodCon. You guys were amazing. I enjoyed meeting y'all and listening to y'all drop nuggets of knowledge during the panels. Hopefully this is the beginning of more live shows in the future. Love y'all. Peace. Hey, thank you, man. We just happy that people came out, to be honest.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that, you know, you think you have a certain fan base, you think you have a certain reach, and then you get somewhere and people don't show up, or you find out, when there's only one way to find out, you gotta try it.
And
we were super honored to see the people who actually did came out, and
it meant a lot to us, y'all.
Yeah, they showed up and showed out for us. We felt loved the whole time, felt supported the whole time.
Right, the whole time. And I know we're probably, I don't know if we're going to talk about today or tomorrow, but it was just wonderful to see that people came, and it was like, I just came for y'all. And there was some people, every conference we were in, they literally came to everything we were scheduled.
Every panel.
Every panel we were in, they came to every panel. It was like, we came for y'all, we coming to everything.
Yeah, and like
that,
I said,
that means a lot, because we can feel the love and the energy from you guys.
Yeah, like I said, there's no way we can repay that.
Mm-mm.
And you know, like I, we just felt so, it's cool to be able to turn around and be like, man, this is a lovely feeling. Let's see what else we got. Let me see if we have any voicemails. I don't know if we do. And you know Skype be moving mad slow. But
yeah,
I will
be glad when a good substitute come out, because we ain't found one yet.
Yeah. But I will check on that, and then I know we got a couple emails as well.
Okay.
And then after that, maybe we'll talk about the Seattle trip.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so checking Skype right now. So let's see, last time we did a show was Saturday, December 2nd, I believe, right? Wait, this person left these at 7 o'clock at night, so I don't know if we played these or not, so I'm gonna try to play one and see.
Hey, Rod and Karen. Hopefully this message will get played. Hopefully I made it under the right amount of time to make it to the recap show. But in any event, just want to say thank you for another great week of shows. And the lawyer of the law episode had me cackling, especially the start of wife stuff. I don't know. Been a long night of watching this whole, like, tax thing kind of play out. And just really,
oh, okay, she said this. Oh, she's in the chat. Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, so this is the old one.
Okay, so we must have replayed it.
Yeah, that's okay. So then let me move up and see if there's anything else. We have a call on last Tuesday, but I don't see a message. All right, so let's move to the next one. Sorry, this is the quickest way we can do this with Skype. Unfortunately, I miss when I could just plug in Pamela and play all the messages, but that stopped working.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's another plug-in.
I just feel like Microsoft bought this shit and it's just been shitty ever since.
Come on.
No offense to Microsoft.
Yes, because they're not investing any money to improve it.
Yeah, I think it was Microsoft that bought it, but just made it kind of the bare minimum.
Right.
We would like for it to be able to do.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll read emails between searching these messages to see if anything comes up. All right, doesn't look like any for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me check this other one. All right, let's go back to the emails. We got one December 4th from Allegra who says, misogyny and racism. Hello, you two. Regarding Taking Out the Trash episode 1573, it's interesting how interchangeable misogyny and racism are treated very similarly. My husband and I have had a continual conversation about misogyny, like racism is woven into the DNA of not just the USA, but the world. Men for centuries have thought that they are the stronger sex and that women are mere property. There are cultures that have historically given women some agency and power, but unfortunately, the most oppressive groups have been equal opportunists in their oppression. If you're not white, male, Anglo-Saxon, aristocracy, then you are less. Thanks for all that you two do, Allegra. I agree. Yeah, I feel like that's how I see the world, through the lens of race, because I am black, and that's how I relate to other people's struggles.
Mm-hmm.
By kind of trying to fit it into that box. Not everything fits neatly. Obviously, some things are different.
Correct.
You know, for example, black people are only like 13% of the U.S. population, whereas women are over 50% of the world population, but still treated as second-class citizens. So it's not an exact match, but yeah, a lot of the lenses to which a lot of the ways that things work against people work the same when it comes to privilege. So all right, here's a voicemail, by the way. Got this to come up. Wow.
Hey Rod and Karen, this is me, Tim Kid One Afro Two on Twitter.
Oh my man,
just wanted to say again how much I appreciate y'all. You guys are the best. It was nice to hear you guys' story from about being laid off again and turning that into magic. I just got laid off today.
No!
So, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking about, you know, creating magic from nothing, but I don't know if I have skills like you. But either way, you know, either that or I'll just focus on the same different struggle. Either way, I guess, you know, thanks a lot, man. And it was great to get inspiration from you guys. You guys are off the chain. Peace.
First of all, thank you, Tim.
Thank you
for calling, and then thank you for the hospitality when came out.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, Kid One Afro Two is his Twitter handle. You can see he like documented that dude puts together, like, he put together like videos
and it was beautiful.
He's extremely talented.
He has a YouTube page and everything, because I start some, because I'm gonna go back and actually watch it. And baby, I want you to be encouraged, because when people lose their jobs, it could be devastating, particularly if you were like me. For the first time that I lost my job, I'm a workaholic. And so if you're a workaholic, a lot of times you invest and put everything in your job, and your life becomes your job, and your job becomes your life. That could be very, very, very dangerous, because America, particularly here in America, society shows you that you are worthless if you are not working a traditional 9-to-5 job, or wherever you are getting a paycheck. That's supposed to be your top priority over everything, over your family, over your friends, over your loved ones, over everything. You're supposed to dedicate everything to them to death. And a lot of people across this country have bought into that philosophy, and that could be very dangerous for you spiritually and mentally, in my opinion. And when people lose jobs, for some people it's like a death, because particularly if you've been at places for a very long time, it could be a part of your life. And so you, I feel as though I want to encourage you to look outside the box. I want to encourage you to not panic, because that's what a lot of people do. They panic and they go, oh my gosh, I got to get another job. And a lot of times when people panic, they settle for less. They end up going and getting jobs that they hate, they don't like. They end up getting stuck in the rut, because I understand people got bills and things like that and responsibilities. I completely understand that. Yes, do what you got to do, but also always be looking for other alternatives, because losing jobs is not the end. Losing jobs is the beginning of a greater opportunity, because sometimes people have aspirations, wishes, and dreams and things that are within them that they want to get out that they don't have time to do because their fucking job is so time consuming. You spend more time and you see your coworkers more than you see anybody else, more than your family, your friends, and your loved ones. So for the first time, you have this free time, and a lot of times you can dedicate time to these other hobbies and these other things that you've always been wanting to do, be it drawing, be it painting, be it whatever these various different things is. You can invest time and energy and effort into those things in addition to trying to find a job. Don't get me wrong, because you got, you know, be real, people got bills to pay. But you can also take your side hustle you were doing anyway, because a lot of people have to work 2 and 3 jobs because of the way the economy is, and make those things your main income. So I want to encourage you, baby, to keep going and keep smiling, and just know that we are rooting for you. We really, really are. And not only for you, baby, for anybody else that just recently lost a job, you know, within a short period of time, if you're hearing my voice, I want you to be encouraged too, and I want you to know that losing your job is not the end.
Yeah, everything Karen said, obviously. What I would say, just from meeting you and also seeing some of your work, mm-hmm. You're very talented.
Yes, you are, baby.
If you're lucky or fortunate enough to have like severance, unemployment, stuff like that, you know, and I know that pressure to like, I gotta go find a job, trying to find another job, that I felt that pressure. And even with the show, as I said to the people that were there, it took 2 times getting laid off for me to really find the time to be able to invest in making this show what it is. The first one, we started the show. The second one was monetizing the show, right? And you know, I needed every bit of my severance, all that time. I think it was like 6 weeks. I needed unemployment for what I probably could have got off sooner than I did, but still I kind of needed that, you know. So there should be no shame in that. A lot of times we make people feel shame.
Right. For needing help and assistance.
For needing, the things that we pay into.
Right.
Like this isn't charity. You earn that. So you gotta push past that shame, push past that idea of like failure or defeat. Especially if you're laid off for no fault of your own. I was laid off twice for no fault of my own.
Right.
Like several other people got laid off. They were just cutting positions.
Mm-hmm.
I had never had a bad performance review, things of this nature. Anyway, the point being, yeah, it's not the end. And just don't forget to take a little bit of time and invest in yourself.
Right.
You don't have to spend the whole time doing it. You ain't got to Iron Man rig this shit together. But, you know, you already are so talented. You already have been able to put together so much, on your own. You know, if there's ideas that you've been having about like how to take your platform to the next level, how to you know, if there's skills you want to learn, this is the time.
Yes, it is.
There's very few opportunities in life where you really get some time. Is so fleeting, and it's really the number one resource that we're always running out of it, right? Every person is running out of it at the same rate. So like, this is one of those times where if you are able to do it, I take some time, invest in your skill set. And you can self-teach shit now on the internet, invest in your platform,
mm-hmm.
Try those ideas, get those ideas started, lay the groundwork for those ideas that you've been wanting to do. If people have monetized their Twitch, you were telling me about how to do Twitch. I don't know as much as you do.
Mm-mm.
If you've been thinking about monetizing your Twitch or coming with an angle that, you know, you just never had time for when you were working 40 hours. Now you have a little time, man. So
So be encouraged, baby, because it could be a dark time for a lot of people when they lose their jobs. So be encouraged.
Right. So good luck, man. And I really do hope it works out, and I think it can.
Me too, baby.
Let's see. We got this. I started Walking Dead over. This is from Law, who says, "Yo, Rod, what's up, Karen? I'm all caught up with the show, but decided to start rewatching to refresh my memory like I did with Game of Thrones. Remember when Rick and Daryl caught FaZe and Daryl choked him out? Rick said the same thing to Daryl that Daryl said to Shane when Shane choked him out, episode 3. Choke holds illegal. episode 3 was great, period, though. Shane beat up Carol's abusive husband. Dale is living. Merle got to represent the alt-right. Happiness all around. I'm sure I'm about to notice a lot of things that meant nothing to me the first time, like reflecting on childhood subliminal racism. Anyway, I love the show. May TBGWT podcast run longer than Bill Cosby's rape career. Jesus. I mean, I don't even know how to take, I mean, I do hope we go a long time, but another record to compare to. not as long as that motherfucker. This one is Allegra sent us a podcast to listen to called The Spin from Uncivil. Is a podcast that she was saying had some history stuff in it. She says, I was discussing with my husband that women, for good and bad, have been facilitators and or often architects of the civil rights movement, and that actually men end up being the pawns or enforcers of the agenda. The men are used as the face for a lot of movements because patriarchy. This thought occurred to me after listening to this episode, also after months of history research for my podcast. What do you think? I haven't listened to it yet. We've been, as obvious, you know, we've been busy, but I will try to find a way to listen to it. But it's the Uncivil podcast.
Yeah, I started listening to that. I was listening to the MTR network, and I was Secret Sauce. I was listening to Secret Sauce, and the host on Secret Sauce was sharing about this particular podcast, and I went back and I haven't listened to all of it. They're very short. They're about 30, 40, 45 minutes at the longest per episode. And listening to it, she played like a preview of it, and listening to the preview of it, I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds so awesome. And you learn about things that are not in the textbook. And it's one of those things where you be like, holy shit, it will literally open up your eyes to a whole new world. So for those of you out there who are like history buffs, even if you're not a history buff, you will learn about so much stuff. Like they talk about, for an example, they talk about Where's My 40 Acres and the Mule, and not the podcast, but the actual 40 Acres and the Mule. And they talk about the history behind it. And, you know, how you have people living to today that are still fighting for those acres, and how things were stripped from these people, and it was mind blowing to hear it, and it would change your, in my opinion, change your perspective and educate you in a way that the school systems actually failed me, honestly. And so I would encourage anybody. I haven't finished listening yet, but so far it has been a great listen.
I think that a lot, however you pick up on history, is good. And if it's through podcasts, that's a great resource as well. I just haven't listened yet, but I do plan on listening. Virginia writes in, hi y'all. Hey y'all, just wanted to send a quick note saying I love the show. Also, thank you for getting me through some rough times lately. Y'all always making me laugh. I don't know what's funnier, Rod's puns or Karen's attempts at puns, and then Rod semi-laughing or groaning at them. Anyway, I do have to stop listening for a couple weeks, not because of anything bad, but because I just had abdominal surgery, and y'all got me laughing so hard I don't want to bust a stitch.
I feel that one, baby. You're gonna know I can't be hurting myself.
But on the plus side, I will have a nice backlog to listen to when I get back to work in a couple weeks and I need to catch up on my workload. I'll chip into the collection plate once I see the damage this damn surgery does my bank account. But isn't that weird, right? We get surgeries and stuff, and even if you have insurance, I still don't know what the bill gonna look like.
Right.
Like, so
they might decide to pay 100%, it might be 55%, they might say fuck it, we only paying 20% down. We don't know. You don't know what people talk about insurance, but you don't know what the fuck insurance gonna cover until the shit runs through.
Shout out to capitalism.
Right.
But on the plus side, I'll have a nice backlog. She also says I'll chip into the collection plane. Okay. But for now, I'll head over to leave a review so Karen doesn't hunt me down. Winky face. Have a great holiday, Virginia in Texas, at Two Twisted TV on Twitter.
Thank you. You be safe down there in Texas, baby.
Let's see what else we got. Coffee Light and Sweet writes in. Hi Rod and Karen, the holiday season now in full swing, and I want to take a moment to say thank you both for the joy that you have brought me throughout the year. Thank you for sharing your gifts with the world. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your family. Peace and power. Coffee Light and Sweet. Thank you. That is very nice of you.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya W. writes in, representing hashtag Tip Nation and meeting Corey Glover. Oh, we did too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey Rod and Karen, it was wonderful seeing you both enjoy and destroy at PyCon in Seattle. Looks like you ruled, and rightfully so. We did. We had a good time. This past Friday, I attended an underground subculture dining event in New York City organized by Chef Russell Jackson in honor of Chef Jeremy Fox. I've been to a few of Chef Russell's events in the past, and he is so inventive. This one I chose to attend specifically because, in addition to the tribute to Chef Fox, it was inspired by the music of Living Color's Shade. I love Living Color and couldn't pass up the opportunity. I decided to represent the Living Color TBGWT connection by wearing my hashtag TBGWT shirt, which I did, but had no idea that Chef Russell is friends with Corey Glover. What?
Oh.
Small world.
All right.
And that he would be there. Early on, Corey came up and said, "Is that shirt for the Blackout Tips?" Heck yeah, we had a nice conversation, and Philip, my man, and I also met and talked with Corey's lady and lovely wife, Joanne. The dinner was fabulous, and at the end, we took the photo attached of Corey, Joanne and I. Thanks to Philip for being a very gracious cameraman. I'm sure it's fine sharing it with the chat room, but I don't feel right sharing it on Twitter without permission. Yeah, I won't put it on social media or anything. Just another example of TBGWT bringing people together. All the best. All right, I will try to show the chat room.
Thank you.
The picture as well, if you guys want to see it. But yo, it's such a small world, man.
That's so wild. You don't know who knows who, dog.
Yeah, that's so wild, man. And yeah, Corey's good people. Yeah, that's them hanging out there. And yeah, Corey's good people, man. And that's crazy. He recognized the shirt and everything. And then also just, you know, the Chef Russell was, you know, putting, like, that's just so dope.
Honey, we got Chef didn't know us.
That's one of my favorite things about, well, I don't know that the Chef knew us.
Okay.
But that's one of my favorite things about, you know, doing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing stuff like that, man.
Yes.
Lee writes in, feedback show, just had to tell you guys how overjoyed and elated I am that we got Doug Jones elected in my state and kept out Roy Moore's sorry disgusting racist creepy child molesting ass from becoming a state senator. As a black Democratic voter in a red state, it's really tough sometimes to not become cynical when it comes to my local politics, but we did the damn thing, yo, lol. I swear y'all should have seen me dapping up the black folks in my office. Haha, it was glorious. But I sincerely hope this helps more black voters realize their vote matters. But of course, they wouldn't feel that if it, feel that it doesn't if voter suppression wasn't a real, very real thing.
Yes, yep. It is.
Shout out to Eric Holder and President Obama and a lot of black political orgs being the only ones trying to fight this in the courts. Come on. Bernie and his true progressives are nowhere to be found. And speaking of Bernie, now he wants to talk about identity politics. Yeah, this nigga was like, give credit to the black people that voted. I'm like, but you think our politics is identity politics instead of our economy? Like, we're not separate. We're American citizens too. And everything you talk about that you call identity politics is economic for us. We need your support on that too. Don't marginalize us and push us to the side. Anyways, thanks for being you, Rod and Karen. To Omarosa, by Felicia. Much love, Rod and Karen. I got an Xbox where my heart used to be. Trey Swindu. I'm gonna go to the next session because I know we up against the break. Give me 1 second, guys. We'll be right back on the air in the chat room.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, shout out to them beating Roy Moore. I know that, yeah. It says a lot more about how, to me, and this is the thing I always kind of, you know, and I'm not trying to poo-poo the win, and I'm not trying to be too cynical, but it says a lot that, you know, 48% or whatever, 47% of people were still comfortable voting for that dude. You know, like, those are still your citizens in your state. Those are the people you got to look at in the eyes when you come to work, too. Like, there's people that thought, I don't think this, like, they won by 1.5%. I think he still hasn't conceded, but they won by 1.5%. And there's people that really think, you know, he should have been there. He should have won. There's still people that feel that way.
Yeah, when they disgusting. Know they wouldn't leave their fucking child around him, but he should have won.
Disgusting. Tiffany writes in, Tiffany from Triangle Wine Co. Hey, Rod, here is $100 gift card from us.
Oh.
I'm sorry if it's last minute. Listen, it ain't never too late. Mm-hmm. Just saying, to get some wine
no,
on Christmas.
It's not.
It ain't never too late.
Thank you.
If you hope to receive anything before Christmas, put it in on Tuesday. Okay. All right. Fans, if you want to get something.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Christmas.
Put it in on Tuesday. Get yours before Christmas. I hope Karen and you have a wonderful holiday. We appreciate working with you. And oh, they're gonna look forward to next year too. All right, cool. I can't wait to we was just telling somebody at the PodCon about you know, one of the cool things about what we do is integrating stuff with sponsorship, and we can kind of do it in our way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't ever have to worry about a boss coming in and being like, that's not okay, that's not appropriate for the air.
Right.
And I was like, y'all was one of my favorite things about 2017.
Mm-hmm. We did white people and wine.
We're looking forward to getting cheese and wine and getting drunk on the air. Yeah, talking about white people.
You it had us. Dope. We was branching out in all the kinds of crackers and cheese, and hey, we're gonna get fancy again. We're gonna have to step our crack and cheese game up.
Christmas cards and holiday cards are coming in. You guys have been sending them to our post office box, and we went and picked them up.
Mm-hmm.
People have been sending us gifts and stuff too. It's crazy. In addition to screener season, we're movie critics, and we get a lot of movies. You know, I've been watching those. I was gonna read some real quick. Let me see what we got here. I hope I can remember what came with what.
I don't know.
So someone sent us this. If you guys can see it in the chat, a gift for you. It is a whole lot of chocolate bars. All I want for Christmas, 'tis the season, let it snow, is all the, this is what it says. And it looks like B-E-D-R-E, Bedre, I don't know.
Something fancy.
Beady, I don't know, Betty. Anyway, it's different types. Potato crisp. What? What is that? Peanut butter. Raspberry. Caramel. They're all chocolate, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And then they put a card on the front.
Oh, thank you, baby. We're gonna eat the hell out of it.
It's from Jane. She says, just sending you a treat to sweeten your holidays and to show a little appreciation for all that you do. Love y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
We can't wait to tear this shit up.
Yes.
Let's see. We got one here. Sorry. It's one of my favorite things to do. Season's greeting. It has a little card inside. Hope your holidays are filled with much joy and happiness. Hey Karen and Rod, thanks for your show. I didn't know how much I needed to hear the black voices until I started listening to you to your show. I have joined two black book clubs and a black girls meetup group. Oh, I think it might say black girls hair meetup. It's in cursive, y'all. I'm sorry, I'm bad reading. I'm not gonna make the joke I was gonna make. All right, I sent you a Starbucks card so you both can get a holiday drink on me, and if you register the card, you can get a free drink on your birthday. Love, Valerie. Thank you. Aww. And it's Starbucks, so I can't speak for Karen, but I already can tell you this is going to a PSL, or is you guys that aren't white women of color, pumpkin spice latte. I'm gonna definitely hit up the PSL with this.
Oh, mine's gonna be a strawberry frappe, frappuccino,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
the lemon pound cake.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just telling you right now, this is a PSL for life for me. So,
oh shit, we need to activate the card. We get free shit on the birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Give me a free PSL on my birthday.
I don't blame you.
Let's see what else we got here. This is from Erica, and she sent this, and it looks like an ornament, and
yes.
I don't know if you guys can see the glitter there. Wishing you continued happiness and success and love. May 2018 be kick-ass. Rod and Karen, holidays to you. Love, Erica. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you, baby. And y'all, want y'all know, we save all the cards. We got a dress up here, but we save all the cards that y'all send us because they mean the world to us.
Yeah, we still have cards for years now.
Yes, we do. If you send us a card, we got it.
You two bring the merry wherever you go.
Oh,
there's two dogs on the front. Thank you for delivering so much happiness. And she changed the message that said, every time we see each other, to every time I hear the podcast.
Aww.
Love y'all, Kimberly Falcons Diva. Thank you, Falcons Diva.
Oh,
come on. Then Brandy sent one, and it just says, let it snow on the front. And inside it says, wishing you peaceful moments to reflect on the beauty of the season. And she writes a message, dear Rod and Karen, many wishes for peace and continued joy during the holiday season and into the new year. Thank you for sharing yourselves with us in podcast land. Keep living your best pumpkin spice lives. Much love, Brandy. AKA B from the chat, AKA Living Color Brandy. Rock on with your Uggs. Oh, I will rock on with my Uggs, B. You know what I'm saying? Ugg life. Ride or die. Let's see. This one was came with an Amazon. What was the gift? Oh, the Babadook. So we have an Amazon wish list. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I put movies on there. Sometimes it's, and if someone does buy a movie from there, I will watch it. I will mm-hmm. talk about it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we put movies on there, and sometimes like movies that I've just heard were good movies. Some movies that I refuse to give them my money, but right. I still kind of was kind of morbidly curious, like Scarlett Johansson's what was that terrible movie she did? She ruined for my life. Ghost in the Shell.
Yes.
Yeah. So like, I want to see that morbidly, but I ain't giving her my money. Mm-mm. But I put it on my wish list in case somebody else want me to see it. You know, sometimes people want you to see stuff because of what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. The Great Wall is on there, but also we have knickknacks for like stuff with the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Just stuff, you know. Yeah, people want to get it. It's nice if they do. There's no obligation.
Mm-mm, no obligation. And we thank you for everybody that's doing that, and we're kind of updating it and stuff like that. So, you know, I know for some people it might be an after Christmas thing, but we will have the Amazon wish list. It's up and it's running.
So Samantha sent this. Hey Karen and spouse, just kidding, Rob with two B's. LOL. Okay, Rod and Karen, thanks for the many years of quality entertainment. You're the hardest working couple out here. Keep up the good work. Your podcast listener, Samantha J. Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, Samantha.
And I'm gonna watch that movie. We got this one from wait, does it say who's from on the inside? Probably Michael. Okay, Michael sent us this one, and it's illustrations on the inside.
Oh,
hey Rod and Karen, I've enjoyed listening to y'all since around that episode that dude got locked out of the room by a damn cat. Karen's cat responses were hilarious. That cat was fed up. Karen, haha. Anyways, have some good holidays, and thanks for your podcast work, Michael Heron. Live enclosed a zine of some of my drawings. And listen, guys, he really did enclose a zine of his drawings. Yes. He is so talented.
Y'all, we got some talented ass fans.
Look at this sticker he put.
Yes.
He has michaelherring.net/art is where you can see it. And like I said, I'm just going to show y'all a couple. And like, he has the names beneath each one. Can they see it on the screen?
Mm-hmm.
He has the names beneath each one and like what he called it. Some of them had a date and stuff. This is from April 2017.
Beautiful.
So yeah, man, he's very talented. So that's crazy. Just wow.
Yeah, that's why I try to tell our fans, a lot of y'all have a lot of gifts within you guys. Like, y'all are very, very, very talented people. Draw, they take photos, they do videos, they can sing. Y'all do great stuff. Tap into your greatness, y'all.
And then our girl Katrina P, at number one feeling, sent us a shitload of hair products and Kit Kats. Giant Kit Kats. I could never eat all of, I don't even know how to finish those Kit Kats. Mm-mm. She sent us just Kit Kats and sweets and treats and stuff and stuff for our hair and beard and everything. And she writes this letter. Greetings, Karen and Rob and husband. Greetings, Karen and husband. This letter and package are long overdue. You will receive this way after Thanksgiving, but gratitude has no expiration date.
Mm-mm.
Please enjoy the specialty Kit Kat flavors. I've noticed the new flavors while shopping weeks ago and instantly thought of you two. I guess I'm your British candy lady. Please, do I also get to your house through a path in the woods, or is that American candy lady's own?
I know, right?
Please also share with any of my problematic light skin fave, Jay Ball. I do need to give, I meant to give him some of the stuff we have.
I don't know,
because I can't eat all this stuff. But I did mean to give him some during Balls Deep, but I always forget. I'm gonna start putting it in here so he can just get it. I have taken the liberty.
Yeah, I need to remember to put it on. He got a desk over here. I need to remember just to start randomly putting shit on his desk so he get it.
Right. I wanted to give him some of those cupcakes. It's gonna be way too late now.
No, I've taken the. They're still good.
They're not gonna be good too. Not next week. No. Have you even had any more of them cupcakes when we got home?
Yeah.
Cupcakes ain't forever food, Karen. Cupcakes get hard if they sit for a while.
Cupcakes ain't forever food.
No.
I've been breaking off of them little bit by little bit.
Yeah, you gotta eat cupcakes while the getting's good. I've taken the liberty to add some handmade goodies for my company. Karen, I'm so thrilled that you fell in love with my country, Jamaica. I have created a bespoke fragrance blend to evoke the tropical fruits of the island. I added that blend to some body butter, brown sugar scrub, and sulfate free body wash. All vegan, by the way. This is just to help you hold on to the memories a little longer. Rod, I did not forget you. Though I too am a white woman of color, I fragrance your body butter with a candy cane fragrance to complement the peppermint body wash you love so much. Oh, hey, thank you.
Hey.
Pumpkin spice does not make the white women of Britain swoon. I know, right? I can't even. That's true. The point is, I would never try to dampen the Uggs life dreams of a fellow white woman of color, because we all know that variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pumpkin spice of life.
Ha!
Enjoy the tingling sensation. I love you both, and I'm thankful that I found your podcast 2 years ago in December. We shall meet one day. Until then, keep living your best white woman of color lives. Your joy is my joy. Be well, Katrina. Look at y'all.
Thank you.
And then, what did this come with? What is this?
I don't know. It came with one of them things over there.
Oh, this is Samantha J. Okay, it came with Babadook. She said, hey, Karen and spouse, just Karen Rob. Okay, I think I read this already. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So it's the same message. Okay. And lastly, Kid Afro, who we were just talking about in the group,
mm-hmm.
Who lost his job, unfortunately. He made us this. This is the sweetest fucking card ever. We were in the hotel looking at this, and I was
and it was a bag full of
like, is this nigga trying to make us cry?
I know, it's dolls, and then he gave us a bag of all types.
It was
of
like
stuff.
The great people of Seattle, like a Richard Sherman bobblehead and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix, not bobblehead, but Jimi Hendrix pop. Forget what those figures are called, but you know, like it was just a bunch of nice, cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Snarkylicious gave us chocolate cover. Bacon.
I got some earrings.
Yeah, Karen's getting earrings. I think Demetria maybe gave you those. Mm-hmm. Like, it was crazy. So, as you guys can see, this is his face on the art there. Like I said,
we got this in the room. I was looking. I was like, baby, I think it's a card in here.
And look at this. He took our heads from the mics, and then that's his face down there. Like, that's like Seattle in the background. Like, that is so fucking dope, man. Anyway, he puts his message to Rod and Karen. You guys mean so much to me as people of color role models in life. Your wisdom, philosophy, and ideology to you may just be opinions on news and media, but for me, it has helped so much in life, both physically and mentally. Most of the time, I'm thinking exactly like you guys. I just haven't been able to put the ideas into words yet. Whether it's the constant realization of how garbage the world is with discrimination, the government, and general people, or having fun times nerding about Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, or some new Marvel magic, your podcast has inspired me to know what I want in life as a person. It has inspired me to know that how I should be as a person and how I should respect other people for what they are and their opinions. Most importantly, your relationship is the biggest inspiration of all. Seeing how well you work together, respect each other, and talk through things is exactly what I want from a relationship in the future. Hope you guys enjoy your time in Seattle. I hope you enjoy these Seattle people of color role model figures. Thanks for being the voice of my headphones, Tim, Kid One, Afro 2. Thanks, man.
Thank you, baby.
All right. Let's see. Should we talk about the trip, or what do you think?
I don't care.
Do it tomorrow?
We can do it today or tomorrow. It don't matter to me.
I don't know. I guess we can get it all over with today, guys. Let's talk about the trip for the most part. So all right, we get ready to if you don't want to hear about the Seattle trip, turn it off. I get it. There's, you know, we've been talking for a while. But we'll try to go through this real quick. So we fly out to Seattle. My mom drives us to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
As we're leaving, it's raining.
And then the rain turns to rain / ice.
Well, it turned to snow.
It wasn't ice. Okay.
It started snowing right as we hopped on the plane. I looked out the window and seen it was snowing. So it's like we was leaving bad weather to go to Seattle. Everybody told us bring jackets and it was gonna be hot or cold. It was gonna be this, that, other. But it really wasn't that bad up there. The weather was fine. So we hop on the plane. Well, I thought it was funny. For the show, I've talked about it, but if we fly, I try my best to find a way to fly first class. Ever since we flew coach to Miami, I was miserable. Like, one, I'm fat. Two, I'm tall. Not super tall, but apparently tall to the fucking airline, because my knees be jammed in those fucking seats, man. That shit hurts.
Don't have no space.
And it's a 6-hour flight. And so it's almost like you would think the opposite, like, oh, 6 hours, this too much to pay for first class. But I was actually, and they were paying for the regular tickets, which I think they get they still got to reimburse us or something, but anyway, they're getting paid and then they're gonna give us that fare. So it's kind of like paying for two tickets basically. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point being, like, nigga, that was so uncomfortable. And those flights were only
short.
45 minutes to an hour and a half to get to Miami.
Right.
I can't imagine. I can't even fucking imagine 6 hours of somebody's chair jammed into my knee. And God forbid if they just lean back a little bit. It was like they directly walked back and put a pencil and poked it in my knee. That's how much my knees hurt when we got off that flight. So I was like, if I can ever be fortunate enough to afford it, I'm no longer flying in the back. Like, I gotta get more room. So we go to the airport. We're in first class, so in Charlotte there's no priority line or anything. I think last time maybe there was, but this time it wasn't.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if you need to ask. Some people tell you, some people don't. Man, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you skip like a little bit of the line, but not a lot. Mm-mm. Right. So we get on, we go through TSA, you know, a little security. I have my Uggs on, traveling out. And so I took my Uggs off and put everything in the little bin. Why did the black woman work at TSA try to shave my Uggs, y'all? Like, you know how you're supposed to put your stuff on that little conveyor belt and they push everything forward and then it goes mm-hmm. through the machine, they give it to you? Mm-hmm. She moved my Uggs down with the white people behind her stuff. And so I was pushing stuff through and I said, wait a minute, what happened to my shoes? And she was like, oh, those are your shoes. I was like,
yes, bitch, I need them. I need to put them back. You think I'm going to all of a sudden be missing some fucking Uggs?
A black man can't wear Uggs. And so then she kind of had this look on her face when she was like, I guess, you know, like, and gave my Uggs to go through the scanner. And then I saw her walk over to the woman that does the radar, the x-ray machine. Mm-hmm. And she went and told her something, like, and started laughing. So I know she was picking on my Uggs, like, oh, this nigga wearing Uggs. And so I was like, okay, whatever, you know. I ain't want no problems with TSA.
Right. And I think for me, I was living my best white woman of color, y'all, because every time we been through TSA be like, look, we gotta pat your ass down. I got tired of fucking getting patted down, so I did like the other white women, the real white women that was there. I put on goddamn yoga pants. I put on yoga pants and thigh high socks and walked my ass in there. And it's the first time I been through TSA and they ain't have to be like, what's in your hair? And they ain't have to be like, let me pat you down. So anytime I go through the airport, I'm just wearing goddamn yoga pants. Y'all just gonna have to see all these hips and thighs because I got tired of being touched.
So we get through that, we hop on the plane, you know, I put my headphones in and stuff. You know, I don't really eat much when we travel because I think I get like stress related issues with eating, and especially if we're traveling for business. It's a little different if we're just traveling to hang out, but you know, I'm in my head, like, I'm planning the show the whole time in my head, like, what am I gonna talk about, what are the topics, what are the segments, how are we gonna do this in an hour, you know, I'm going over and over, like, what are we gonna say, what jokes are we gonna do, stuff like that. And then of course we're gonna be speaking on panels, so there's gonna be 3 or 4 panels. This will be our first time speaking on a panel since AwesomeCon. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's like, and these are like different topics. I'm thinking about, what are the topics gonna be? What am I gonna say when they, at what questions could it be? Will the host be cool? What are fans gonna be like? Will fans show up? Will we have enough out there? You know, things of this nature. That's all the shit I'm thinking about. So to me, it's like, I get in my own head and it's hard to eat and stuff. And I know we're just gonna be there for a couple of days. And you know, you hope that you're gonna have time, but you know, we're gonna be busy. And you're losing 3 hours in the air. Our flight was a direct flight, mm-hmm. but we boarded at like, say, well, no, you're gaining 3 hours in the air. So right. we boarded at like, say, 3 and we got there at like 6 their time,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But we really spent 6 hours in the air. One thing that was cool is, they give you a meal in first class.
Mm-hmm.
I think Karen had chicken. That I had poblano pepper or something. She was like, you order vegetarian meal? I was like, no. I was like, I don't think so. And then she was like, I said, what is it, by the way? She was like, it's a poblano pepper. I was like, oh shit, I did order that. I didn't know it was vegetarian. It was good though.
I guess yours didn't have no meat.
It was good for airplane food.
Yeah, for airplane food, it was good. I had a chicken breast with some green beans and a salad, and like this roll bread. It was really, really good, and I thought that the salad dressing was modern because it looked like the Betty Crocker thing, and I was like, oh shit, this is salad dressing.
And they give you like drinks, like they, like you get on and they like immediately take your order for drinks, like what would you like to drink.
That's one thing that I do like about flying first class, is that you're normally the first people on the plane, so a lot of times you're like sitting there waiting for everybody to board the plane, so you already drinking.
Well, they don't, no, they don't give us the drinks before they board. They it's after everyone boards.
Okay.
Well, we still on the tarmac and they're about to, they're like,
okay, we hadn't take off yet.
Yeah, they're like, what would you like to drink? And I'm like, you know, ginger ale or something, but that was cool. You know, it's a little weird with people waiting on you. You can't tip them. It's, you know, it's just a weird experience.
I don't think you do. I don't know if legally you're even allowed to, because they can
pay. Yeah, I mean, it's not customary or whatever. It's just a weird experience. It's like having a waiter that you don't really, you know, me, I like to put on my headphones, read a book, not really talk to anybody when I'm traveling.
They're constantly
plane.
Checking on you.
And they just come by every couple minutes, like, you need this? What about the blank? You want me to put your coat away? They hung up our coats.
Yes! I was like, coat? What? They were like, yeah, we would like to hang up.
Yeah, in the summer, I guess it was too hot, so we didn't think about it.
Yeah, and most people don't bring coats.
Yeah, but in the winter, I guess, you know, it's different. They hung up our coats. That was crazy.
People, you know, you need these tight ass seats with these big ass coats.
Right, so, you know, we go out to Seattle, get a ride from the airport because
they had to de-ice the plane. I think that's the first time I ever been on a plane that was de-iced, and I didn't really understand. I was, because they was outside and it was playing, I was like, is this like a car wash? What the fuck is happening here? Because you see like these big ass machines go like around the plane.
Yeah, it took like an extra 10-15 minutes to do it, but I'm, you know, in my mind, the way I think, because I think some people are like, oh no, we're inconvenienced, it's gonna take 10 more minutes or whatever, and most flights, at least the ones we've flown on, I've noticed that they always err on the side of oh, it's gonna take an hour and a half, but really take an hour 15 minutes, or it's gonna take, you know, whatever, right?
They estimate too long, right?
Yeah, and it's like, I think it's because when you land, you still have to taxi to a place where you can get out.
Right.
So the time in the air is actually shorter than they normally say it's gonna be.
Correct.
Anyway, the de-icing thing, though, I was like, good, yes, de-ice this shit.
Come
like,
on.
Whatever
de-ice
it takes
away.
I don't want to be halfway to fucking Seattle and they be like, up, the engine's iced over or something. I don't know what the rules are. Anything that takes a little more time to make sure that I'm alive, you take your time and do it. If we need to coast around a couple more trips, let's do that too. Fuck it.
Right. And I didn't know what it was, so somebody sent me a link, and to come to find out about the de-icing, whenever you go up in the air, they have certain equipment that can actually change shape, so they de-ice to help it keep its form for taking off and landing.
So we then get to Seattle, couldn't see shit.
Woo! That fog was thicker than Beyonce thighs. I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, it was so, that fog, like, shout out to computers, couldn't nobody see that runway. And we landed in pure black fog. It was like, and that's the thing, because the sun sets earlier in the winter, we really got a little bit of sunlight during the flight. I think we even saw the sun go down.
We did. It was beautiful, but yes.
And then that was it. That was, we arrived in darkness, as Charlie Murphy would say.
Yes,
that
we
Rick
did.
James said. So we get to the airport. They had a code for us, so we get a lift to the hotel, and that comes out of that code. We didn't have to pay for it.
And it's very, very different there. They actually have a designated area for like your Lyfts and your Ubers, just like separate. So like they have a general area with like family and friends, you know, pick up, and then they have a separate area, and it's really, really smart because you keep that traffic separate from the people that is like, look, I want to pick up my grandpa, now I gotta wait in the same line that, you know, Susan or Sharon or Karen is waiting on Uberman.
Yeah, it's just super convenient. So yeah, I love the way that airport was designed. Like everything was really fast, and you just go, and there's a lot of signage, you go to the right place, get picked up by the car, and this dude was Ethiopian, I think, and he had like a I guess what would be an Ethiopian accent, you know, I'm a black person from America that is ignorant. All of it sounds like African accents to me. I'm not 100% sure how to tell the difference. But he was telling us about Ethiopian food.
Yeah, that's how I figured out. Yeah.
He was asking us a lot of questions about where we were from and did we have Ethiopians in Charlotte. And I was like, you know what? I'm so ignorant, I've never thought about it.
Me either. We might go check them out, you know.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte's growing and has such a diverse. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere around here that got it.
Yeah, I'm sure we do somewhere. And mm-hmm. he's telling us like what foods we need to try.
Mm-hmm.
And telling us that it's not really foggy that often there, and that this is just very thick, and that tomorrow we'll see it'll be beautiful. And he says it never snows in Seattle, really.
Right.
Which I, you know, in my mind, I just thought it must snow. Y'all always talk about how it never stops raining. But I don't think it really rained the whole time we were there.
It didn't.
So we get to the hotel, check into our room and everything. And that night there's an event where you it's like a mixer kind of. They show you the, show you around the, space and where you're going to be doing your panels, mm-hmm. where you're going to do your live show, things of this nature. And we had like hors d'oeuvres,
drinks,
like, you know, like it was a pretty casual thing. So, you know, and, this is one of those things in my mind I made like, I'm going to do this tonight. Cause yeah. I need to know where the spaces are tomorrow. And, you know, and it was like 7 or 8 o'clock their time, which means like 10 or 11 o'clock at night our time.
Right.
Anyway. So we go meet people. We got to meet, Dylan, who does, the podcast about, it's called, Conversations with People That Hate Me or something mm-hmm. like that. So we got to meet with he was there. We met Francesca for a second there mm-hmm. that night. We met a couple of people that were hosting our podcast panels.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan was hosting one too. But I think we met Ashley, who was really cool.
She was real cool.
I think Ashley does a podcast about
the environment
on NPR.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was wonderful talking with her.
Yeah, so she was real cool. Like I said, that we had a good conversation with her and her husband, I believe, was there.
Mm-hmm. It was a very open conversation. Everybody, you know, because we were just sharing. We talked about a vast majority of things. You know, they asked us about us and our show, and you know, we were very open and honest, and it was just really. It was just a joy to talk to them because we were actually had got food and we was actually just sitting and eating, and they came over there to talk to us.
And we met Ariana that night.
Mm-hmm. She's good people too.
She's a producer for a podcast about like Harry Potter.
It was just very popular.
Yeah, and it was like a cool like idea where they like kind of discuss it through the lens of like religion and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was hosting a panel for us, and then like I said, Dylan we met him for a second too, and he was like, oh, I started following Dylan Marin. He's like, I started following you on Twitter and stuff. I was like, cool, I follow everybody back and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to go make sure I followed everybody back.
I do too, because I might not have. If I haven't, hit me, let me know.
But yeah, and so, you know, they were just talk. Some of them would go over like what podcast topics and questions. Some of them had emailed us already what mm-hmm. questions they were gonna ask. They were picking our brains, getting to know us. I was really impressed with how much research people had done. People had gone and listened to our podcast.
Yes, they had.
To be like, oh, I really like your show. I had never heard of it. And I'm like, good. That means it's working. You know, when we got invited to PodCon, one of the things I did was they sent us an email. It was like, what are you kind of willing to do? Do you want to do like a creators chat? Do you want to meet up with your fans? Do you want to do, this panel, that panel, that panel? I just said yes to everything.
Right.
You know, like, cause I was like, if we're gonna go, so all the way across country, we'll never know if we're coming back.
Right.
Let's say yes to everything. That way, if someone buys a ticket, they won't feel like, I saw Rod and Karen for 5 minutes and wasted my whole day or whatever.
Yeah, and we gave people time for, you might not have been able to come to the first one. So we did 3 panels, but during the course of the day, you might have seen us at one of the 3 panels.
The other thing too is if I keep like thinking about how people complain so much about stuff that when they get in a position to change or do something different, they don't do shit.
Mm-mm.
And most people complain and they don't have any positivity to add. Like, you know, so-and-so doesn't do this for these people. It's like, okay, well, what are you doing to help anybody other than complaining about it?
Come on.
You know, what are you doing to help them figure out a way to help people? Like, and then a lot of times with these panels and stuff, you'll see where there's a conference, people will complain. There's no black representation. They didn't have people of color there. They didn't talk about topics that I listened, as a listener, I deal with as people, a person of color and things of this nature. Well, this is a podcast conference. It's the first one that they're doing. They've done a video conference before. This is their first podcast one, and they're trying to find a way to get people involved and inviting us. I'm like, yeah, I want to be on every, I would like to give my opinion, my input, Karen's input, Karen's opinion on anything we can. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, we'll have a perspective that may not be represented there. And I don't feel like a stereotype or anything. I feel like these are my thoughts, is how I feel. Representation matters to people. I want to have our fans out there. They if they decide to attend these panels, they're going to get introduced to some new shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't looking at it as a one-way street of, oh, new people will meet us. I was looking at it like our fans hopefully will can become fans of other stuff that they had never heard of until that day.
Correct.
Because Lord knows these podcasts are huge, and I hadn't heard all of them.
Right.
Many of these concepts were new to me. People was there in cosplay and shit.
Yes,
it's crazy.
They were.
So that night we get to meet everybody, have some really good conversations with people. We go on a little tour to space.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, I'm like, all right, I think I'm out. Gonna head back to the
hotel. 'Cause
it
was late our time.
Yeah. And, you know, we ate the hors d'oeuvres and
which
stuff.
Which was really good.
Spanakopita. Okay, we had some spanakopita up in there. We had some dungeon crab,
mm-hmm.
Cakes. We had all kinds of stuff. So I did that, and Karen, we did that, and we went back to the hotel room. And that night we were gonna try to get up with because I think Rashani had either texted me or something, or he said something about wanting to get up and hang out a little
him
bit.
Him and with, People's Critic.
Yeah, him. No, not that night.
Okay,
it was him, and I think I was gonna try to get up with Additive J too.
Ah, okay.
But we were so tired, mm-mm. and we had traveled 6 hours, and then after the meeting, it was whatever. So I was like, you know what? Tomorrow, you know, I texted him right before I passed out.
I was like,
I texted him and said, hey, we're going to do dinner, breakfast in the morning with my man Tim, People's Critic.
Right.
You guys may know him,
mm-hmm.
friend of the show. And so the next morning, we get up to go do breakfast. This was great because, one, we kept waking up way too early.
Yeah, y'all know me, and I've said this when I would go to Jamaica. When I went to Jamaica, I always wake up early, and when I travel, you know, like Roderick said, he can't eat, I can't sleep, so I'm just waking up at the crack of dawn. So I kept waking up at 6:30 our time, which was like 3:30 a.m. their time. So I was waking up going, what the fuck, because I was looking at the clock going, but it says 3:30, why the fuck are you up, body? My body was like, fuck you, I got an alarm clock and it says 6:30. So a lot of times I wake up, then a lot of times I stay up an hour or two because I automatically, no alarm, no nothing, I would automatically wake up. And so a lot of times I wake up, then I would take a daytime nap. Like, I would force myself to go back to sleep because I know it's a time zone change. And I was like, okay, Cam, you don't go back to sleep, you're gonna be fucking exhausted.
Right. So, you know, we get up with Tim kind of early. We know we're gonna have panels all day, like starting at 11:30 or so. So we get up with him, he takes us to get breakfast. We try to go to this place called Biscuit Bitch, which has no seating. So I'm like, I'm not standing eating biscuits in the cold, fuck that shit. So we go find another place called like Bako Breakfast or something. We go there, sit down, and look at the menu. Ain't no grits on the menu.
No, and no sweet tea.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know why you worry about sweet tea though. You never eat sweet tea for breakfast. Drink sweet tea for breakfast.
I just want to know what's on the menu.
Just the comfort, I guess.
Yes.
Well, I'll do eat grits, and I ain't see no grits on the menu. But they did have salad, but not fruit salad. Salad. So,
yeah, like salad dressing.
I had a egg sandwich and a salad at 8 a.m., whatever it was, 8 a.m.
I had a crab omelet that was actually delicious.
But once again, eating on the road, I couldn't eat it all. I couldn't really finish it.
Yeah, that's the funny part. I don't have a problem. Roger, I'll eat. Like, that's what I'm like, I'm hungry to eat.
Yeah, so which is not as bad at the end of the day after everything's done, but in the beginning of the day when I'm thinking about all the panels, all the shit I gotta do, it's just one more thing slowing me down. So
yeah, and we got to walk through the city, we went sightseeing, and Tim was like an excellent tour guide. Tim was tour guiding so well that a white dude was like, yeah, you a tour guide?
Right, he took us by Leroy's Suits.
Yes, it was too early for Leroy, buddy, but them suits were lit.
Yeah, he said, this is exactly what you think is inside. And I said, you know what? Because I did. It looked like, Leroy's Suits look like a kind of place where they call you nigga at the salesman.
Yes!
Like not the, just the customers, but the salesmen are like, come here, nigga, let me talk to you for a second. You're like, oh, man, what kind of place is it? Listen, pimp, you know, like
yes,
that kind of shit.
Yes, I'll put like this. The whole 124 crayon color was there. It was a beautiful thing. It's almost like the Suits U or the KNG here.
Yeah, it just looked like all the people that work in there dressed like the Joker's henchmen and say shit.
Come on,
like,
with a measuring tape around their neck,
right? And say you look good in some loud ass color.
Yeah.
Oh, you look good in some red. You know.
Yes. You want this melon green? What? Yes.
So, and then we saw Pike's Market or something, which mm-hmm. is the place where they throw the fish, if you ever see it on TV
on NFL.
yeah, we didn't go down in there though. And then you know, with the Target, came back, and I had on this shirt that day that said, I'm rooting for everybody black, you know, Issa Rae's famous quote.
Mm-hmm.
And this city had to lead the league in the most white people that approved of my shirt.
Right?
They had to let me know too.
They went down there, but like, somebody might actually shake their head at you.
I ain't gonna say that, but it just led the league in approval. It was white people just stopping, like, hey, me too, buddy. And I'm like, what is he? Oh, in my shirt. And one white woman stopped and helped us get directions in the Target we went to. And
I know, she was so helpful.
And then when I turned back around, she said, I love your shirt. Me too. And gave me a thumbs up. She was old as hell too. I was like, okay, old white lady, I see you. And then so we go to Target, kind of come back, get our badges and stuff for the hotel. You lay down for a second, because that's the thing I like to do to kind of recharge. I like laying down between these events.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps. And you know, I kind of, even if I can't sleep, I kind of meditate, or in my head, like, kind of calm myself, think about what I'm gonna do, kind of walk myself through my expectations.
Yeah.
You know, I think about, you know, the comments, the jokes, the points I want to get across, the questions I expect to be asked, interactions with the audience, things of this nature, you know, especially when it comes a lot dealing with a lot of people, because between these events, the whole place now is packed with fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're not all necessarily fans of us. Some of them are gonna be coming up to us for the first time, like, who are you, what do y'all do?
Right. And I think, like I said, I think we kind of prepare very differently. I am also, because Roderick, to an extent, I have pressure too, but Roderick's doing still have more pressure than I do, because he's kind of the person that kind of keeps the show or what we do on track more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost like the freestyler, so for me, I'm a lot, I don't got nervous like once, but overall I'm more relaxed, you know.
Well, the panels to me is different, because we both are doing just talking.
Okay.
So I don't have to like lead or organize anything. I just need to show up.
Right.
But it's just people, you know, it's just people.
Right. I have to
recharge my batteries. I kind of,
mm-hmm.
I have this weird, I don't know, it's almost like I don't know how to explain it. I guess it's anxiety, I guess is what I would call it. But you know, I kind of just lay down in the bed,
just
kind of talk to myself, mm-hmm. in my head, you know, kind of, because my mind won't stop racing, and my mind does this thing where I think of conversations. I think I've talked about this on the air before, but I think of conversations like branches. Like, if you imagine a river, and then conversation paths are like tributaries of that river, or branches of that river that branch off, and my mind goes through every one. It's crazy. I don't know how, like, so I don't know how to turn it off. And so I'll just kind of lay there, close my eyes, and kind of talk myself through it, walk myself through it. I, you know, let myself, like, know, like, you're gonna be okay, it's gonna be fine, it's just right. People, you've done this before, uh-huh. You're good at this, it's your, you're in your element, you all know,
right.
And once I kind of like peacefully kind of transition and calm myself down, I'll sometimes I'll fall asleep even. But then, you know, we head over to the to the event, and to our first panel, and we go to the meeting room. We're supposed to meet up with everybody.
And also I think I guess that's the, and also I had to learn, and this is another reason why we rest, people are draining to you, and so it's like you almost have to almost like recharge your battery. And so that's how I view it, you know. This is from, you know, extrovert talking. So once I understood that, I was like, oh, okay, you need to recharge your battery so that you can have the energy to get up with more people.
And that's not a bad thing. Yeah, I don't know the right word for it exactly, but I've been taking to describing it this way. I feel like I'm a relationship perfectionist with people to a certain extent. And it's not, all relationships are romantic, but like even friendships. And I want to be there for people. I want to say things that mean are meaningful. I want to listen to people. And it kind of takes energy to do that. Yes, I think a lot of people kind of bullshit their way through conversations. They don't listen to people. They don't really care what you could be talking to a brick wall as far as most people are concerned. But I like to be present, you know, and it does take something out of you as opposed to just,
it does.
How's the weather, fine or whatever, or I'm just happy to see you. Oh, and that's it, you know, so, so, you know, I think about these things before I say them, you know, I think about, you know, what possibly people are going to say, you know, and so, anyway, we get to the little meeting room, you know, they have food and stuff in there. I drink hot tea because that helps calm my stomach down a little bit.
Yeah, I really enjoy hot tea. They had a lot of hot tea in the little room.
Yeah, I drank a lot of hot tea this week. Anyway, I would drink it. It helps a little bit with the nerves and everything too. So we go to our first panel. They walk us down, and the first one is on communities, which was interesting panel because we were there with some of the people that kind of put the panel, the whole thing together.
Right.
I think the host of my brother and me were all there. I think at least two of them were. I know Travis was there, and I think the other dude's name is Doug, if I'm not mistaken. It was called We Love Communities. Drew Ackerman was there. He does a podcast, I think it's called the Sleep With Me podcast,
which is very popular.
Yeah, it's for people with like anxiety and different disorders and stuff that they turn on the podcast, and he tells you a story till you fall asleep. There was a dude, Julian Coster, who I still don't know what Julian podcast about. Julian was cool. He don't even have social media. He was the only dude on the panel for communities that didn't have social media. I was like, how did you know when you showed up it wasn't just gonna be like a bunch of alt-right Nazis or something? How can you be so sure?
Yeah, people around him keep him informed. You gotta have a team of people to just say, hey, show up.
Yeah, it was Travis and Hank, that's who was there. And so Travis and Hank were there, Hank Green, and then we had a great panel, you know. I think Ariana hosted that one, and she was a really cool person. She had just coming off of giving an opening speech at PodCon,
the opening ceremony,
and people were congratulating her like, you killed this speech and stuff. We had talked to her the night before, and she's like, yeah, I'm a little worried because I had to do the speech, and I'm normally behind the mic.
I don't talk.
I'm a producer, so da-da. And I'm like, you gonna kill it, don't even worry about it. And she did. And she hosted great panel, and I think Karen's the only woman on this panel. So the energy when you have men talking very much like boisterous people, kind of, and it wasn't argumentative, but you know, men are very much like, I have an idea, I'm gonna say it, you know, and just hopping out there and stuff. But you know, the thing, Karen and I shared the mic, so the thing I tried to, and Ariana was a great moderator, so what I tried to do is if I spoke, I tried to make sure to get Karen the mic so it's her turn or vice versa. And then the Ariana also did a good job making sure everyone got a turn to speak, so that was cool. Then we did a panel about tough topics, and that one was hosted by Ashley, the lady who does the NPR environmental show.
Before we move on, after we did the first panel, there were fans that were there, like they were there, and it was really neat just to see them because it was like the first panel, so you look out and you know, we seen faces. Like, this is the first time we had seen Rashani and Bacon and some other people, and there was people that kind of snuck in the background, and
That was the other thing. I was looking at every black person in there like, do we know each other? Yeah.
And a lot of them were like, they were like wave, and I was like winking. Right. Yeah, it was wonderful to see just the positive energy. Then afterwards, we talked to them, you know, did a meet and greet and taking photos. We were there because it was like 30 minutes between the first one and the second. From the second panel, we was actually in the same room.
Right.
So the lady was like, "Do y'all want the same spots?" We was like, "Huh?" She was like, "Y'all gonna be right back in here." So we basically set the same seats for the next panel, and so it was wonderful actually to take pictures and meet and greet and stuff during that time.
Yeah, and so the other thing that happened was, how come you're not on screen?
Microsoft was like, time to reboot.
Okay, sorry. All right. Well, anyway, so we also got to talk to fans between the, panels. We kind of got to, you know, finally greet people, because when we walked in, it felt cool because where we were sitting, that's also where all the people that knew us were sitting.
Right, on that same side,
yeah. So it was like right by that thing. The only thing is when you talk, because everyone's kind of drawn towards the middle. I was on the end, so I try to look at the people that are talking. So I ended up feeling like I was looking away from everybody the whole time. But mm-hmm. I just thought it was cool, you know,
yeah, and also,
that they came out to support us, and that, you know, especially we got to talk to them after.
Yes, and something else I really enjoyed about all the panels, but particularly since it was our first one, was the energy in the room was real relaxed. Like it's like everybody just came to listen, because you know it's a PodCon, so you probably doing a lot of podcasters, future podcasters, looking into podcasting, coming to enjoy. So it was really a relaxed room as far as people being receptive and hearing what you had to say.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, also we were giving great answers, and I think we cover things from perspectives that people don't necessarily get, but in a good way though. Like,
right.
I'm glad we were there to make sure those things are said, because you know, I think especially talking about communities, and hopefully we'll get the audio for this panel so y'all can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things people do is, you know, I talked about, you know, running the Facebook group.
Right.
I talked about having to realizing when something's so big, you have to hand it off to people, that you don't have to give access to everything, that you're not here for 24 hours to be somebody's daddy or parent, you know,
right,
that you can't solve every dispute, that,
nope,
you know, things of this nature, that really, you know, cause you want to be funny, you want to make jokes, but you want to be insightful and you want to be honest. And so, you know, I try to talk about that. You know, people were talking about backlash. Like, what do you do when you have a moment or a thing that happens and people turn on the show or something? And how do you deal with that within a community? And all that stuff. And, you know, so I felt like we gave really good answers from our perspectives. Then the top topic one, same sort of vibe. Ashley is an amazing moderator.
Yes.
On this panel, I think I was the only dude.
You were the only dude. We went from one for me being the only woman to this one, you being the only man.
Which is amazing, because it was organized so different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, women are so...
Yeah, women are different.
Ordered.
Yes,
like,
they are.
You know, it's weird, because men like to pride themselves on, like, we're the logical, reasonable ones. Like, it's a bunch of Spocks and shit. But in general, like, this panel was very much like, okay, your turn to talk. Okay, this is my question. And then everyone goes out the line.
That's how we taught, yeah.
And back up the line the next time. And
mm-hmm.
This time I'm going to start with so-and-so. And, like, Ashley was a great moderator. She was able to give examples of her own with some of the questions she was asking. And at the end, they always turn it over to the audience to ask questions. And so afterwards, in addition to us meeting people for the first time, taking pictures with people, which I think, you know, people probably noticed, because it was kind of weird. And maybe I just missed it, or maybe just these other podcasts are so much bigger, kind of.
Right.
But like, we were constantly taking pictures of people.
Yeah, like literally the whole time we were there. And I think some people came up there for the fact that we were just constantly taking pictures. And on our panel, witness the panel we did with Apana and
Tough Topics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the lady from Criminal.
Yes, that's Tough Topics.
And the lady from Criminal, it was amazing to hear her talk, because I've heard her voice before. So for some of these people, it was like you were hearing them for the first time. First time we heard Apana was on Keeping the Girl. Well, first time I heard of was on Keeping the Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very enjoyable just to be up there. I mean, I know you were there as a man, but it was just enjoyable just to be up there with nothing but women.
Yeah, and you know, I wasn't trying to talk over nobody or, you know, pull some like, listen, ladies, you know, but yeah, we had, and then Vanessa was there too. She's a co-host of that Harry Potter, podcast. She mm-hmm. was so funny.
Yes, she was.
She had some good jokes about, Voldemort or dealing with people who had a problem with her not liking Snape. Like, that was so good. You know, that's the other thing. So, like I said, I don't know if it's just, like, there's kind of the panelists are kind of separate from the regular people in the room, quote unquote. But, you know, for us, it was like, if you came out to see us, hey, how you doing?
Yeah,
like,
so we stepped off the stage and people were asking questions, people were taking pictures and things like that. Then they had to actually get set up for next panel. So we actually went outside and we stood outside, where, we
was. Ashley was, yeah.
Go ahead.
But I was going to say, no, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, I was gonna say, so we stood outside and we took more pictures and got to meet a lot of more people.
Yeah, I just felt like we constantly had people around us. But in a good way.
Yes, and I think gave us so much energy.
I think that we had such great fans that the energy was infectious.
Yes.
And it made people want to come over because there was a lot of people that had never heard of us.
Mm-mm.
And this was their first time hearing what we think about shit. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, there were some awkward questions. There were, you know, it was a lot of white people too. So, you know, they had, not only hadn't heard of us, they don't even know what the fuck we be talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I was handing out business cards. I was like, because you didn't want to constantly repeat yourself. So everybody, I'm like, here you go.
Yeah.
You go.
And, you know, me, I had business cards, but I reserved mine. Because, like, business card is a great way to get somebody to go away. But it's also like, you know, I don't really, like, what if you going to be annoying and email me some shit? And I'm going to be like, oh, I remember you. So I had to pick my spots, right? So anyway, people was coming over and it's like, can I get a picture with y'all? I like, you know, what's your show about? One dude, keep in mind, the panel after the one panel we did was Tough Topics, right? It's Tough Topics. Like, it's not really funny. It's, we're talking about, like, we were being kind of funny, but I wasn't trying to, that's the other thing. I wasn't trying to end every comment with a joke.
Right.
You know, I was trying to be honest as possible. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. And one dude came up to me afterwards. He was like, you guys are so sharp and insightful. What's your name of your podcast? And I said, it's The Black Guy Who Tips. And he's like, The Black Guy Who Tips? What?
That confuses him.
What is that about? Yes. And I said, it's a comedy podcast. And he looked like I told him horses can talk. He was like,
what?
A comedy podcast? I was like, yes. He's like, but y'all were just so serious. And I was like, yes, and we're funny too. Like, we, many of those answers, I started most of my answers with, well, we try to approach these tough topics through comedy.
Right.
You know, I talked about the games we play. I don't know what he thought he heard, but he was convinced that it's good times over here, that it's all woe is me and shit. And I was like, nah, man, we do a funny show. We make jokes out of stuff and we still talk about things, you know, but I think Karen gave him a card and stuff, and then people were bringing us gifts and stuff.
Yes, we were getting bags and all types of stuff,
bacon and stuff.
Yes,
like,
the bacon was delicious.
Like, not the person, bacon. Oh, bacon. We got literal chocolate cover bacon. So then we talked to everybody for a little bit, and our next panel wasn't until like 4:30, and I'm like, time to recharge, I gotta go lay down. So we talked for a little bit with everybody, and then I went and laid down.
Wasn't this the time we were there too? And like I said, because we were very friendly and approachable, people were actually like, I think one white dude was saying that he was doing a show. It was weird though, he was saying that he was doing a show and...
Okay, I wasn't even gonna talk about these people, but several people came over to ask questions. Some people was cool, some people wasn't. I treated every question with respect, and I answered it honestly and tried to be as helpful as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these questions, I like one woman, she was just talking about how to get a show popular, how to get it more people listen, and you know, and the Rashani was there too, so Rashani was kind of giving her answers to as a podcaster who's been doing it for 10 years. So you know, I was kind of glad he was there too, because I'm like, cool, you know, like more ideas, and I don't gotta come up with all the ideas, because it's a lot of pressure when someone just walk up to you out the blue like, how do I get my podcast popular? And I don't want to be like, well, what's it about, what are you doing, like, because those are, you need detailed answers to be honest. And I try to give people general tips and stuff, but and some stuff I really think you just need a direction to go in. So like, we talked to this woman, Christine. She was Christina, yeah, she was cool. And I was like, you know what, start a Facebook page, you know, because I think the other thing is, while we are more accessible, more people were talking to us, we had more cool, I don't want to say cooler fans, but we had fans that were really there to like, to, they weren't afraid to come up to us,
interact with us.
We didn't have like a sign-in session or something, or something that I think, which if we were more popular or we were different, like a category, maybe that would be something we would need to do one day,
right?
But I the thing I was saying while we were there was, I want to enjoy this time because I don't know what's going to change. We don't know,
right?
Like, I saw you just shake your head right now. We don't know. We didn't know we'd be getting invited out to do conferences when we started the show.
Correct.
I don't know what changes. Like, maybe you get as popular as like Francesca, and now now you have to do a sign in because you can't do a meetup,
or, right,
you know, I don't know. And right, so I want to
overwhelming.
Yeah, I want to enjoy the process every step along the way. So
correct. Enjoy the steps.
Yeah, if right now that means that we are able to like give pounds and hugs and take pictures with people that came out to see us, that's dope. We may or may not be able to do that again.
Correct.
Like, you're not gonna see Crystal and Kid Fury coming out to hug and shake people's hands like that. That's
unless it's something scheduled.
You know what I'm saying? Right. It's just not accessible. They can't be accessible like that. They have so many fans.
Right.
People kind of consume them from a different angle than us.
Yes, they do.
So it's just, you know, it's a lot of pressure and stuff.
Oh, and I understand why they do that. Like, right. Reasonings behind that. Right.
And I'm saying, I don't know if this will continue or not.
Correct.
So I'm enjoying this time that we can do this. But I think it also invites other people who just go, look at them cool people taking pictures.
Correct.
So they come over and they hang out and they ask questions. So, you know, and then one dude that you're talking about, he had like an accent. I don't know where he's from, but he was like, I started a podcast where I just interview people about different controversial topics. And I'm like, and he was like, but it's just not going so good, because the people, you know, the show's not being good quality. The people don't always know what they're talking about, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, what is the hook of this show? And he's like, I'll just find somebody and be like, you're a Trump voter. I want to get to understand where you're coming from, what you're talking about. So I'll talk to them. Or Black Lives Matter. I'll talk to somebody that's pro Black Lives Matter and stuff. And I said, okay. And then you're not getting a good, in your opinion, this is his words, like, you're not feeling like you're getting a satisfactory podcast end result, right? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, this way you might could do a little better. And this is only if you want to start looking for people that are either experts in this field, or they already kind of talk about it.
Right.
So if you can find someone who has a podcast that discusses Black Lives Matter issues, talk to that person, because they're already doing a podcast. They want to be heard. They want to talk. If you're just pulling random people off the street, like this man on the street shit, like it's going to be bad, because the average person doesn't know like how to host something audio wise. They don't, they haven't really thought out long sentences. They're not used to talking and express themselves.
They may or may not have the proper equipment. The average person don't.
They might just be fucking like making shit up. You just don't know.
They might be batshit insane. You don't know.
So there were questions like that too, is what I'm saying. But I don't remember everybody that question. I do remember him because Karen just brought him back up. But you know, for the most part though, I think people also like asking us questions because we was we may have been the only podcasters that weren't in like a network and that were independent and worked for ourselves totally, and we don't have other podcasts under us or anything. So if there, you know, maybe there were more, but I know for a fact it was, you know, we definitely are one. And I think to a certain extent that appeals to certain people out there, because most people probably trying to start a podcast are more like us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not coming at this because you were a comedian. You're not coming at this because you were a famous YouTuber. Right. You're not coming at this because there's like a lot of people are just like, how do I go get a microphone, get some recording equipment, and study this and do this myself?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big thing. So we go rest, come back, and we do the podcast for Podcasts of Color panel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really looking forward to this one. One, I mean, I already was looking forward to Tough Topics, but that was mostly about, we met the host for the first two panels, and I just really we hit it off with them that night and had a good conversation. I just was like, this is gonna be fun, and I wanted to make it as memorable and fun as possible for them as well.
Correct.
But then podcast about for panel for Podcast of Color, this is one of the main reasons I wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. Now I know some people would feel like, oh, why are you putting the Podcast of Color on a panel to talk about this shit, you know, like spread them out, let them be on a bunch of stuff. Well, we were on a bunch of stuff. We said yes to everything.
Yeah, some of them was on various different panels too.
Yeah, I don't know everybody else's schedule like that, but you know, Dylan Marin was hosting it. Paul Bay was there.
He does the voice for Night of the Veil.
Francesca Ramsey was there. Aparna was on this joint too. She wasn't listed in the thing, but she was on this too. Aparna Nashera, and I had heard her on Keith and the Girl maybe a year or two ago. You know, and I had heard her on Misandry with Marsha and Ray. And we even talked a little bit about Marsha and Ray and stuff, and she was real cool people. Everybody on this panel was cool people. Everybody that we met was cool people, to be honest. Yeah. With you. To be completely honest, like, I didn't have any bad interactions with them, but so yeah, we did this panel, and I felt like the other reason I was looking forward to this one is I knew the audience was going to be a lot of people of color, because this is the kind of panel that you come to because you're interested in this. You know, people of color, that's my shit. Black people, that's my shit. So we had a good time.
Yes, and it was brown people. It was all types of brown people out there.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful to see the diversity in the brownness. It wasn't all black people brown. It was all
I think this was probably where we earned, quote unquote, the most fans who didn't know about us, but
correct.
They left that room like, who's that, and how do I hear more of that? So that was fun. I hope we get the audio for this panel.
Yes.
Really. Care was going off. Francesca at one time said, I just want her to be my life coach. Which was a really cool moment.
Yes.
I know I made a joke about ScarJo that really went over well.
Yes, because that's a thing. Some of the jokes you make will actually roll over well in a room like this, that it might not roll over well in other rooms.
Yeah,
because you know, we talked about Black Twitter, and we talked about Black Twitter due to the course of various different things, but in this particular room, Black Twitter actually means more, because a lot of these people are in Black Twitter.
So that was that, and this night of all the nights was the one where jet lag punched me in my motherfucking face. We got off the panel, and once again, like, at the end of the day, when everything's over, I feel better. And unfortunately, with the whole introvert shit, even meeting and talking to people I know or like still kind of counts as, like, if you have hit points in the RPG, it still takes down my hit points. Even if I'm having a good time, it's still kind of like, you know, like I said, it just is what it is, you know. When me and Karen do things by ourselves, or on vacation, or even when we went to RevoltCon, I think we did a meetup with fans, but mostly it was me and Karen just going out doing stuff. Totally fine, you know. But then now you have to go talk to this person or meet this thing or be at this thing, and then all of a sudden it starts counting, right?
Yes.
So we talked to everybody for a while, and I'm like, I'm heading back, I'm gonna go lay down.
Yeah. Before you go into that, more people after this panel, more people came, and it was meet and greet, and all of a sudden I heard a voice, and I was like, I know that voice. And it was the Matthew from Spilled Milk.
Right. If you guys listen to Karen, if you're premium, if you listen to Karen's spinoff show, Lip Smacking Good, she interviewed Matthew going on 3 years
ago.
Maybe 4 years, three or 4 years ago.
One of my favorite podcasts.
And they had, I think it's called Spoiled Milk.
Spilled Milk.
Spilled Milk. Okay, Spilled Milk. They had a good conversation, good interview, and he remembered that interview.
Yes.
And he said he had such a good time day when he saw her name on the panel that he was like, I'm gonna come watch you at the panel. And they got a picture together and everything, and it was real cool.
Yeah, you took a picture with them too, and it's one of those things where it was some people that were actually invited that actually did like one panel the whole time. Like, he was, you know, so him and his co-host had already did a panel for that day, and like said, he seen me. And it was one of those things, just like y'all, like, if y'all wasn't hear our voices, you would turn around and be like, oh my gosh, that's right. That's how it was with him. I heard his voice, I was like, oh my God, I know who that voice is.
Right.
And it was just wonderful to actually meet somebody or meet a podcaster that you hear in your ears. And I was like, oh my God, it was just wonderful. And I got all excited and fangirled out. So, you know, we are also podcast fans. I don't think people understand that. Yeah, we produce stuff, but we also enjoy and like other podcasters also. So it was wonderful to meet him. I know other people who actually listened to that show were saying that they became fans of the show because I've talked about them on the show, but on the regular show. And so it was just wonderful to meet him. Wish I could have met his co-host, but I got to meet him, and it was wonderful that he took the time out to actually come and hear us. And he talked about how wonderful a job we had done, and it was just a joy to actually meet him. And it was also wonderful, like I was saying, that some people actually went to all three of our panels. So they were giving us energy the whole time. And sometimes I don't think our fans don't realize we feed off of their energy. Yeah, we have our own energy, but it's just wonderful to look out in the crowd and see people that are actually rooting for you in the crowd, that are actually agreeing with you in the crowd. And this, the last panel we did was so much fun because you had a lot of brown people. So it was more vocal and more loud. As far as their interaction with us, it was amens, and it was a lot of finger snapping. Like if somebody said something that people enjoy, all of a sudden you would just hear this rise of finger snapping, or this rise was like, go girl, or yes. And so that panel right, I enjoyed all the panel, but that panel right there was like, this is the element that I love, because I love brown people. And you know, and what I realized, the difference between brown people and white people when it comes to interaction, white people enjoy stuff too, but they express their enjoyment different. A lot of white people just walk up to me, I enjoyed your show, it was great. I'm like, thank you. And I want to interact with them, and then they take off somewhere else. I go to the bathroom. So people, they enjoyed it, but it was like they would come tell you then leave, you know. Versus for a lot of brown people, you get the interaction right then, you get almost get the gratification right then. And that's what I love about us. You know, we'll let you know right then how we feel about something, be it good, bad, or indifferent. We let you know. So I really, really enjoyed that particular panel.
Yeah. Also, it was like black church up in there.
Yes.
For some of it, I didn't even know this one lady who was there. She had elf ears or whatever.
Yes.
But she was so vocal. I loved her. She was amazing. And you know, people was like yelling out answers to questions.
Yes.
You know, jokes and stuff. So I enjoyed that panel tremendously. And then we kind of like wrapped up and you know, told everybody our goodbyes. And I, like I said, I had been so full of like anticipation, anxiety, and wanting to, and then like determinedness, like I'm gonna get this done, like I'm putting myself in uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. but you know, sometimes you gotta be uncomfortable to prosper, you know.
Yes,
to learn,
you do.
To succeed and all that. So all this shit was kind of out of my comfort zone, you know. But at the same time, once we get on a microphone, we sit down, I feel like I'm right back in my comfort zone.
Right.
And then the second it's over, it's back to like, okay, people talk, do this, you know, all that stuff. So we get done, hung out with our fans for a little bit longer, talk to people. And then it's like, all right, I'm gonna go lay down. Like, I don't know if I'll get up later and try to get something to eat or not, but I just felt like a sack of bricks. So we go back to the hotel room for a little bit.
Did we do our interview, or did we do it the next night?
We did it. No, you're right. Okay. So we also had an interview after this panel with this lady, Lauren. Mm-hmm. From Black Nerd Problems.
Yes.
And she was cool. She was there for press. And so that was another thing. So yeah, that's what it was. After this, it was hitting me like trying to lay down, but we had one more thing to do. So, you know, we had to say our goodbyes to people, like, hey, you know, we may or may not see.
She was very patient, because she was like, yeah, I know y'all talking. She was like, don't rush, you know, I'll be here.
Right, but I don't feel comfortable with that. Like,
her time tied up.
Yeah,
right.
You're waiting on us. I'm not going to big time you. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, at the same time, not trying to luckily for us, our fans had been at everything, so this was not like high by. It was like, okay, we've seen y'all 3-4
yeah,
times
and
a day.
Someone was like, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, like, y'all go do your thing, whatever y'all get into, have fun. We'll see y'all tomorrow at the meetup. So, you know, peace to everybody. And also, my default personality, I ain't really assume we'd see everybody tomorrow, everybody be at the meetup and stuff. It's just kind of like, if y'all come through, cool, no pressure. Y'all really over showed out and showed up.
Yes, y'all did.
Today, this is so impressive. Talking to everybody was so impressive. Meeting everybody today face.
Correct.
People that I've only known via digital voice or
right.
Skype or whatever, webcam, you know, to see those people close up in person, that meant the world to me.
Yes, sir.
You know, people I know from Twitter and stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
I still can't remember Snarkylicious' real name. She's Snarkylicious to me.
Right.
like, we had great right. conversation, and she's still, like, I'm still like, oh, yes, I know you from Twitter. Like, so it was just kind of like stuff like that. So we go to do our interview, and it was a great interview. Like, I thought it would just be kind of short. And I did, but same thing, don't want to big time people, don't want to assume it's going to be short. And I think the way my mind ticks is very much like, oh, this person's probably not that interested in whatever it is. They just want to get a couple quotes
she
and leave.
She was very interested.
She was so dope. She was such a great interviewer.
She was like, y'all just talk. Y'all, everybody just talk. I'm good.
Right. She just like recorded the conversation, told her, I don't think it's out yet, but you know, link us when it's done.
Right.
You know, I know she got hella shit to edit now because we talked so long.
Yes.
And, you know, and it was cool. You know, same thing, man. We talked, you know, honesty. We talked about like, what we really been through, you know, we talk, cause you know, that nerd intersection, the thing I want to pass on the most when it comes to like that black nerd sphere is we got to love each other.
Right.
It's just so much infighting among blackness, and we bring that to nerd shit. And a lot of times it can be so destructive, and it's not necessarily a positive place for everybody.
Nope.
I think, blackness is more than just struggle, and it's more than just, no matter what I'm presented with, I'm gonna find a way to complain.
Yeah.
But there's these schisms in blackness that kind of come out when it's like, you know, the nerds versus the jocks, quote unquote. But then you add blackness to it, now you got a whole like, you ain't black, you was a nerd, you ain't black, you was a jock. And I'm like, I remember sitting in my dorm room watching Dragon Ball Z with a bunch of fucking football players and nerds. We was all in that bitch together, huddled up like a slave ship, seeing if Goku was gonna finally beat Vegeta this time.
Come on.
And that was a beautiful experience. You know, it was a HBCU, but that was a beautiful experience, and it taught me so much about preconceived notions. We don't know. You know, we talked a little bit about the whole Dem Thrones controversy and mm-hmm. how, like, you know, that really happened because there was already a schism there to be exploited. People that we share a culture, but some of us don't really mess with other ones, and we feel like we being judged from their angle. They feel like they being judged from another
right.
angle. And that week of shows for at least for me was so important to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, in a lot of, you know, with Firestar, I consider those dudes friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing, you know, I feel like we, the last generation at this point that's been off the internet as long as we've been on it.
Right.
We'll definitely be the last one of that. So, unless net neutrality go take it away anyway.
Right.
But so I was like, you know, we kind of have some old school codes of like, yes, you my friend and we had an argument, but I still want to be friends.
Right.
I think we weren't of the disposable age yet.
Right.
I think people now it's a little bit more disposable. I've been on Facebook since I was 14. I'm used to being like, you ain't my friend no more, unfriend, I don't need to see you.
Right.
You ain't my friend, block, I don't need to see you. I'm like, I'm still at an age where you can beef with somebody and salvage that somehow.
Right.
You know, where you fight somebody and still expect to see them at the playground. Like, they don't disappear from life. They don't stop breathing.
They don't.
So that meant so much to me, and that was kind of the message I was trying to put under there. Was like, you know, we do so much of kicking each other out of blackness, kicking each other out of nerd spaces, kicking women out, kicking LGBTQ people out, kicking people that deal with disabilities out. Like, we do so much of that in the name of black nerdness. And I was like, I hope we can get to a point where we can just like enjoy Black Panther together.
Come on.
And if you have an issue with it, I can hear you out without shutting you down and without questioning your blackness, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, we talked, but that was the kind of conversation we had, and it was so fun talking to her. And then after that, that's when we went back to the hotel room to lay down, because I was tired as hell. And once we got to the hotel room, I felt like I think we sat down for about 5 minutes. We had passed this place that make crepes on the side of the street.
Yes, we did.
And I was like, you know what? Now I feel hungry. And I think it's because everything was done for the day. I just don't think I can eat when I'm stressed out about what we got to do. So we went back out and we had some,
crepes. And we looked at the Yelp reviews for
I looked at the Yelp review. It was like, this is close. We can just walk to it, carry back up to the hotel room and eat it. It was right by the convention center. So we had some crepes. It was called Crepe Voila or something.
Something like that. And they were so good. I had a salmon and lox crepe.
And I had, ham cheese and egg, ham, egg, and cheese crepe. Guys,
it was so goddamn good.
We got a crepe place here in Charlotte, but it was trash compared to this.
Right?
So anyway, I enjoyed it. You know, it was a lot. It was so good. We had a good conversation with them. I think we recorded it. I don't think I put my video out yet, but we talked to them about
video up.
We talked to them about the podcast and all this stuff, which is, it's funny when you listen to somebody that takes tips, telling them your podcast, the Blackout Tips, because then it's like, oh, so I'm definitely getting a tip out of this. You know what I'm saying? So, right. But yeah, we had a good time talking with them. And then I think after that we ate, and that's when I went to bed. All right. So next morning we wake up. Denise, a fan of ours, had given us a gift certificate to this place called
it was a dim sun place. And it's so exclusive, they only got like 4 or 5 locations in the world.
Din Tai Fung is the name of it. There's 4 of them in the United States, 3 in California, 1 in Seattle. So it makes, they make noodle. They make dim sum, but they also make like soup noodles or something like that, where it's like soup inside of a noodle. Yes. And when you walk in, it look like the scene in New Jack City where Pookie was working in the tower.
Yes!
Because they just got a bunch of Asian people in there folding noodles.
I mean, like they were going to town. Like, oh my gosh, it's a lot.
Dressed in all white, you know. And so we go in, it's like 10 in the morning, but because of that jet lag, thank goodness it's 1 our time, football on.
Right. And it, y'all, it's weird watching football on at 10 a.m. in the morning. Like, right. That tripped me out. And then I got to remember that, because I was like, well, the ball's got to be jumping like 8:39 y'all time, you know, if you preparing for the games at 10. So the dude was like, y'all, drinking and all that stuff. And I was confused, but I was like, yeah, this ain't North Carolina no more.
Yeah, in North Carolina, we can't drink till 10 a.m., I believe, on Sundays. Anyway, it's a Sunday. We in there. We order some food. Once again, I don't want to eat too much, but it was so fucking good.
Wasn't it delicious?
I ate it, and I didn't even feel sick at all.
No.
Which is weird, because I was sure I was going to get sick, because we ate so much, and we wanted to try everything. It was going to be our only time there. So we ate everything, tried everything. Karen made a pork bun talk, you know, took pictures of it and stuff. And then we went to, and then after that, we went to our meetup. It was at like 11:30. We met up with our fans and stuff. And this was a really cool experience. There's a designated meetup area. We basically you have an hour to meet people. Listen. I'm cynical, pragmatic, all this shit. I'm like, hope some people show up.
Right?
That's it. Like, I ain't really got a large list of demands. I'm like, if we just get a couple people show up, speak to them, hang out for a couple minutes, and we'll, you know, leave if it's whack, you know, if we have, you know, if it's some sad, lonely 3 people and me and Karen, then I will thank the hell out of them 3 people.
Come on.
Hang out and listen to whatever they want to talk about for an hour and then go home and be like, I guess we don't really have fans.
Nah!
But it was so many fucking people. And as we sat and talked to people, it was like a table full of people.
Yeah, and the longer we talked, more people showed up.
Yeah, other tables that were there for us start coming over. Some people that weren't even there for us came over just to be like, I heard y'all on a panel yesterday and I just wanted to come meet y'all, or I was sitting over there and I saw how this group of people was out and I'm like, what is this about, you know. Somebody came and did a book exchange with Rashani kinda. Somebody you know, there was a couple people that were there for their podcast or their events and had conversations, and
yeah, and also it was people that because the whole time they actually had staff and volunteers that was like on the walls, you know, that would tell the people doing the panel that you know, it was time to wrap it up, how much time they had, you know, they kind of, you know, help guide you through the, you know, through the process. And I think one or two of the people that were staff, because one day was like, I was on the staff and I enjoyed it, so I wanted to come to the meet and greet.
Yeah, so and this is also where people that, you know, we had seen the day before start coming over. Mm-hmm. Denise was there, the person who gave us the and I hit her on Facebook like, listen, you gave us so much money for this gift card, we didn't even like, we put a dent in it, but you got money left
over.
I'm sending you this money. I don't know when we coming back,
right?
I'm sending you the numbers back, go get your food, okay?
Because right, we didn't want to waste your money, baby.
Right, I was gonna get a dude the tip of the gift card because yeah. I ain't know no better, but right. I was like, you can't do that, so
right, because it was like, do you want it, baby?
Anyway, so we get we meet everybody, and then it was interesting because I don't know what you do when you meet people. We've never done a meetup before. Like, it's not like you're doing a podcast.
Right.
You're doing a meetup.
Right. And it's not like a meetup like we did in Miami. It was, you know, this is at an event versus Miami. We just kind of ate dinner with people.
And it's going to be an hour. I don't know what to say to people. Mm-hmm. See, these are the things that I say I get nervous or I worry about. Like, these are the things I'm planning out in my head. So I want to make this a cool event. You know, I'm not going to freestyle your shit, you know. So we get there and you know,
people are already there.
Right. People are already there and people start coming over and we're talking to people. And so people were like asking certain questions and I'm like, you know, we didn't bring any like merchandise and stuff, like, cause we don't keep that on hand. You buy that online, but like, if you want us to sign something, we'll sign it, you know? So what happened was, it was so cool. It was so weird. I started talking to people and a couple of people asked questions. Mm-hmm. So they start asking questions about starting this. I think it may have been Tim to ask, like, how'd you start the show?
Right. And all of a sudden, the longer Roger talked, everybody that came up just started forming a big circle. And it's like, as more people came, the circle got bigger and bigger. It was like a round circle that everybody just kind of stood to where everybody could just kind of look and just hear you talk.
Yeah, it was so crazy because, you know, normally Karen's kind of this life of the party person or whatever. But all these people were sitting around just listening to me tell the story of being laid off and how we started the show. And, you know, I was giving the details and, you know, it's live, basically in person. It's like having a live chat room circle around you.
Right.
And, you know, people are laughing, people chime in with their own jokes and stories. Right. People are, you know, kind of digging the, you know, like digging the story and, asking more questions
right,
and branching off. So I don't know how long I talked. It was a long ass time,
which in a lot of times these lead down to the road. So while Roger was talking, the idea that I came up with, since people was like, we don't have anything to sign, what happened was that everybody there signed our badges and we signed theirs. So while Roger was talking, as people came, I just kind of cut off to be sure.
Yeah, because people had some things for us to sign. A fan drew a picture of us.
Mm-hmm.
That was, we took a picture of it, put it on the air. It was so good. We signed that. We signed my man Tim won the calendar last year that we gave away. He had that for us to sign. We signed that.
Right.
And then Karen, like I said, had in our placards around our placards or whatever, the cards that you get, the badges. And everyone signed those, and we signed everybody's
because
we didn't have nothing to sign. By the way, if we do these again next time, bring whatever you want us to sign.
Yeah, you guys bring stuff, and we'll sign that.
And we got to put, you know, faces to Twitter handles and people that donate and call into the show. And, you know, like I said, this is when we met Michael Irvin.
Yes,
Michael Irvin, the playmaker, and he is 100. He said, "This is so funny. I'm the exact opposite of everything Michael Irvin, the NFL player, is." Like, but nah, he was cool as fuck, man. And I mean, everybody was really. And then so then after I had kind of given my spiel about being laid off and working and stuff, and you know, just kind of talking to everybody, that was when I started asking them questions. Like, I went around because I was like, where everybody from? Like, what'd you do to get here? What, you know? And I mean, when you say humbling, people traveled, some people had to hop on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like taking a picture with us and being like, I gotta go. So I just came all the way here to take this one picture, which means you probably had to pay to get in that joint, because I don't think nobody got in free.
No, they didn't.
And that was it. Like, I can't stay. I gotta get on this flight. But
come
I'm
from
like
Arizona. They was coming from California.
Somebody came from Colorado. Mm-hmm. My man Art. You know, there were people that were coming that were like,
and driving 2 and 3 and 4 hours away.
Right. There was one lady there the day before she came out. And it was her and her friend, and she was like, Karen, like, you want to take a picture? And all of us can get in the picture. And her friend was like, no, this is really just her thing. She's a fan of y'all. I just came out for support. And I'm like, let's do it. Like, take the pic. Let's do it. You know, she was back. And I'm sorry if I'm blending names together, forgetting people's names. It was so many people.
Yeah.
But I still remember faces. I still remember the conversations I had with people.
And the energy level, and like, y'all don't realize that the energy level that you guys had was like on 1,000. And it like replenished. It literally gave us back everything that we poured out. I don't know if that makes sense to what y'all saying. Like, y'all was just giving us that love. So everything that we were going on a panel, like right say, when you're talking, you're speaking, you're pushing out.
So Barry came from Podcast in Color.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's having a meetup today too in New York, I think, maybe. Don't get me misquoting her. but listen, she came, and I just wanted to take time to tell her, like, do you know how important what Podcasting Color, how important you are to so many black and people of color podcasts?
Yeah,
like that space you created.
Right.
Not just, cause I know she's a big fan of The Read. And I'm like, but it, you know, like, I say this as just a podcaster. Thank you. Like, you are a hub for people.
Yes, you know, they find you and they find so much more.
Not enough people appreciate the folks that put up for everybody else. Like, you know, it's very difficult to like to compensate people for their money and time.
Right.
Especially as a black producer, we get expected to do what other people do with much less.
Right.
And then people turn on you. People get jealous of your spotlight, they get jealous of your shine.
Why you asking quote unquote for money when other people doing it, they don't do this shit for free.
Right. Or why you ain't pay everybody? I don't have a fucking payroll. I don't even pay myself.
Right.
You know, things of this nature, like people will turn on you so quick and people elevate that shit up, lift that shit up, or people act like that's fair critique when a lot of times it's just shady and mean and it's not.
Right.
Well, Barry is a person that runs this platform, you know, where it's really about just putting other people on, you know, and fans use her hashtag podding. If you've ever used that, that's what a hashtag she started. So it was cool to get to meet her, take a picture with her, and have that moment of like, just to tell her like, you appreciate it.
No, check to be sure. I don't know. I don't see the time, so I don't know how long the session is.
We got plenty of time.
Okay.
So, yeah, I told her, you know, thank you, you know, for what you do. Cause we like literally you brought people, listeners that people don't even know you. You
right.
brought listeners and fans in. And then, you know, this time, like after I found out where everybody was from, how they did to get here, thanked everyone for coming out. Mm-hmm. Some people started kind of trickling out. We sat down for a bit cause I was tired. And we started talking to people at the table for a long time.
Yeah. And before we even started talking to people at the table, we actually broke up, and I don't know, Roger was on one side and I was on the other side. So it was like a group full of people around Roger asked him questions, and a group full of people around me asking me questions. And like you say, they asked questions. I was very open and honest. We talked about various different things, and anybody that came just felt so welcoming. You know, it was a very loving atmosphere. Then, like Ross said, as people trickled away, Roger was like, well, I'm tired, let's sit down. So we actually sat down and talked even more. So we were there for a few hours. Now that was really fun.
Yeah, it was supposed to be an hour, and I think we stayed. I looked at the end when we left, and we stayed 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, but it honestly went by like that.
Fast.
And it wasn't just us talking. Like I said, I know Rashani was holding court a bit. I know We talk with Bacon a bit. Mm-hmm. We talk with, you know, like I said, Snarkylicious was giving us the details on all her stuff that she's worked on, mm-hmm. and her experience, you know, navigating, like, I think it was LA, and people were telling us their stories of dealing with Seattle. People were telling us how they heard the podcast for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, people were asking us for tips on podcasting and stuff. White people were sitting, one white woman just sat there and was listening. She was waiting to get her book from Rashani. And he never could pick out a book because he was, you know, talking at the same time. And so he was like, I'm sorry, I never picked out a book for your exchange to send you the link or whatever. And she just went, it's okay, I've just learned so much listening to everyone. It was like, all right, you have a good one. She's like, God bless you people, and then walks away. After that, we had, like, I think we left about 2 or 3, and I knew I had basically an hour to prepare for our live show, which we only got an hour to do. You guys know we can do that in our sleep. I don't know how long this episode is. So we go lay down and then come back at 4.
Right, and rest. And what was wonderful, while Roger was going around asking everybody where they were from, a lot of them didn't even know they were in the same city or the same area.
Yeah, I told them, like, listen, and I really do mean this, if y'all have met through us here in Seattle, because y'all were saying it's a very, y'all don't have a lot of black population, y'all don't always get to, like, meet up with each other and stuff, I hope y'all form some lasting relationships and bonds, and, like, don't just get up because of us, but, you know, y'all know at least you have the podcast in common. I hope y'all do something else together. If you live in the area, like, you know, check out, go see Black Panther together. Do, mm-hmm. you know, find a way to back to each other, because, you know, community does matter, and especially in places like that where the cost of living so high and it's so white and all this shit. So, you know, we brought that up.
Yeah, and it was wonderful because while we were resting, I actually seen pictures. A lot of them had went to dinner. I mean, like, lunch or dinner, yeah. Like, after that.
They went and got cupcakes.
Right? I was like, oh.
We got some cupcakes.
We did.
Man, why can't I remember that? I cannot remember the lady's name who had the dress on. Mm-hmm. She was cool as shit. Why can't
don't
I remember
charge it to the heart, baby.
Was she Demetria? I want to give somebody Demetria, and I don't know which one of y'all was Demetria.
She's the one with the earrings.
No, that's Denise.
Oh, that was Denise.
Denise Patricia was the one that gave us the yes.
It started with a D, baby.
So maybe she was Demetria. Anyway, she was cool as shit. And Morgan, we met Morgan, be great. Like, so anyway, we just met all these people. Like I said, it's all blending together. But
it really is, y'all.
Y'all
know it's out of love.
We go back to the hotel, chill for an hour. I mostly spent it researching, getting everything ready, figuring out what the sound setup was going to be, figuring out how I was going to do the articles, because they told me there's no internet inside the place. So I was gonna have to do it through my phone to get all the articles. So we get there, y'all heard the live show, it was lit, it was so fun. We just had a great time, and that by that time it's like 5:30, 6 o'clock. Say our goodbyes to everybody. We talked for probably another 45 minutes to an hour with everybody before we left. And then I hit up Marissa from Safety Pin Box, mm-hmm. and we went out and had sushi, and she
was good.
Showed us around the city, yes, showed us some scenic areas of the city. We took pictures.
Beautiful.
Which was also cool, because, you know, like, Tim gave us a guide of downtown a little bit, got to walk around, but she kind of gave us a guide of the city.
Yes.
And we got to see, like, where the ferries are, mm-hmm. and just all this stuff. And we went and had great sushi, great conversation for dinner.
Delicious.
And we were going to watch The Walking Dead, but at about this time, like, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it's an hour and a half, 2 episodes. By this time, it's like midnight, 1 o'clock our time. And also, our plane left at 7 in the morning.
Right.
Which meant we need to be at the airport like 5:30, 6 at the latest. Mm-hmm. So, I was like, you know what? This is cool. We really enjoyed this conversation. We love Marissa. It was so weird. We would get in the car, and every time we got in the car, her phone hooks up to her audio.
Yes!
And it kept playing our show. It was
so
just,
Roger would be talking, and then the podcast would be him talk, so it'd be like him double talking.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? Am I hearing voices in my head? Have I finally fucking lost it in the back of this car? We go out to dinner that night, and we had such a good time.
We did.
Talking and stuff, and then, like I said, I was tired. I was like, we gonna head back to the hotel. We go there, sleep, And then, like, I think we packed a lot of stuff at night, and then we mm-hmm. got up in the morning, tried to figure out what we was going to do with these cupcakes that we got from, I think it was Demetria. Pardon me if I'm getting your name wrong. Mm-hmm. And we was like, what are we going to do with these cupcakes? I don't know. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try to take them on the plane.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Because from some of my, I know you can't take liquids, but in my mind, I was like, I don't know if they're going to scan these cupcakes and be like, it's a bomb. You know, I don't know. Like, TSA, further check. Like, I didn't know. Like, it's a cupcake fucking plastic mold. I don't know. But we, you know, it got through. And we got them cupcakes all the way to Charlotte. But let me tell you something.
Turbulence on them cupcakes.
Let me tell you something. When they made us put the cupcakes in the overhead compartment because our first class seats on the way back ain't have no under thing.
Right.
They were like, it's got to go in the overhead. I was looking at the cupcakes like, well, goodbye, cupcakes. You made it real. You almost got back to Charlotte.
R.I.P. cupcakes.
Man, I opened up that box we got home. It looked like cupcake massacre happened in there.
They were still good, baby.
So, but nah, we still, it was intact enough to eat. We ate most of them.
Yes.
And then also, guys, I had my headphones in on the flight back. People were picking on Karen because she had a big Carolina Panthers coat on.
Yes, and the TSA. That man scared me to death initially.
The Seahawks had lost. So the Panthers won. And so people was mad about that kind of, and they was teasing Karen. The thing was, I think if you work in security at TSA, you should not be allowed to make jokes.
Right.
Because that man in that police uniform came up and said, you guys are in the wrong line. Y'all need to go all the way to the furthest end of the airport. And I was looking at him like, taking off my shoes like, is this nigga serious? Cause I'm not, like, what the fuck, bruh? Like, what is happening? Like, I'm black. I'm always ready for some shit to go down. I'm like, is this, they pulling my nigga card? Is
right.
this, today's
I was
the day?
Like, did we flag? Were we randomly selected?
I was like, I knew this trip went too good. I knew it. I had fun. I talked to everybody.
All right.
Like, I just.
I won't ever do this again.
Like, I knew it. Marissa said these white people ain't no different.
All right.
So, but he was joking. He was like, yeah, all Panthers fans had to go to the end of the, and it was like, oh, okay, all right. And then he made a couple other jokes like, you know, you need to get her to stop being a Panthers fan. I was like, I don't know what to tell you, man. And so then.
And it was hilarious because in the same terminal, going down,
another dude
was like, how about them Panthers?
Right.
You know, so I guess it just varied.
I think he just hate the Seahawks.
That,
sometimes you live a place and you hate the team. Like that African dude had the Redskins hat on.
He did.
And then he was like, the one who drove us from the lift, he was like, I lived in DC. I have, that's why I have Redskins, but I am Seattle Seahawks. I was like, oh, okay, cool, man. You know what I mean? Like, what can you say? Like, you just live the area. He was like, wherever I go, I just be a fan. But I was like, I know he gets shit with that hat. Oh, you a Redskins fan? Why don't you, you know, all that shit.
Yeah, you know he does. And going in the airport, I think that's the first time I've ever been to the airport that early in the morning. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing to see all the shit is open. I guess 24 hours, they were like, fuck it, we just going to be open all the time. So it was like 5 some a.m. They were serving like chowder. I was like, god damn, everything lit this early in the morning.
What was interesting when we, you know, do our passes and get, they print out our first class stuff, the black lady that was working with the bag area was like,
yes,
she's like, oh, y'all going to Charlotte? Oh girl, first class.
Yeah, she was excited for us.
Go ahead, y'all. I was like, I know we look like we don't ever do this. I was like, I was like, you know what? We don't. Thank you.
All right.
I was partying too. Like, I know, girl, we done made it. How did they done let these niggas slide in?
I know. Everybody was excited.
She said, make sure y'all go to the priority line.
She wanted to be sure we didn't get mixed up in that regular ass line. She was like, y'all go to the good line.
So we went to the good line. And let me tell y'all something. On the trip back, this is when the schism started. I walked up. It was an Asian lady. But I walked up and was like, you know, standing in the line. She said, this is for priority only. I said, I know. And she like, for first class. I said, I had the tickets in my hand. Like, are you going to look at the tickets? Or you just going to keep telling me I'm in the wrong line? Right. The fuck is that? So then she looked. She's like, oh, okay. Go ahead through. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, because we look like regular ass folks. I mean, I had on yoga pants with knee-high socks.
Yeah, I peeped that though. And then regular ass folks, we look black here. So then we get on the plane, get ready to get on the plane. And you know, when you get ready to board the plane, they like group A, do this. Mm-hmm. Group A is normally like the people that's in first class and shit. Right. So we go stand up to get in line. And I think this happened in Chicago, but I had my headphones in, but I didn't have them on. I had paused it because I need to listen to what the instructions are. Mm-hmm. And I heard this woman say to everybody, guys, when she seen our black ass get in line, not before, when our black ass go to group A, she goes, are they just letting everybody board? I was like, bitch!
What? And see, I didn't hear that.
I heard it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I just shot her a look like, the fuck you talking, like, where is this coming from? Stay, you know, I can't wait to see you walk past.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And also, them two dudes that was up there loudly talking.
Yeah.
Those dudes got on my nerves, because they
you know what's weird? That dude was in first class, too. And then when we got on, he was behind us when it was time to put the stuff in the compartment. And I made eye contact with him, and it got kind of this vibe like, oh, I didn't know I was loud talking to other first class customers. Like, nigga. Anyway, that shit was so whack.
Right.
But the experience was fine. I didn't eat anything on the way back. Once again, nervous.
I was eating a storm.
Karen ate the meal. Well, you ate the meal that we had on the plane.
Yeah, the meal we had on the plane was good, but I think going there to actually, and I don't know if it's because it was a straight flight, because going there was hilarious. Witness when they gave us some hot peanuts.
Yeah, they microwave peanuts.
Yeah, they microwave peanuts. Yeah,
they gave us dessert.
Yeah, so we ate a meal today. They gave us desserts, and then we got like a snack box. Yeah. I was like, good. And so we basically eating a whole 6 hours.
But this one on the way up there, I didn't eat anything, and I just, you know, didn't feel right eating, and I was like, I'm almost home, so like, just I'm gonna be good and not eat a fucking thing.
Oh, that breakfast sandwich was flames. It was breakfast sandwich and some yogurt and some fresh fruit, and it was delicious.
Yeah, and I don't want to use a plain bathroom, like it's so small and weird, and like your knee is next to the sink if you sit down. It just felt weird. I was like I pissed in there on the way up there, and I was just like, because it's weird, I get anxiety about the weirdest fucking shit, right? Because I'm like, I have to talk to my, I don't know if y'all deal with this, I'm telling you, I'm just being completely honest with y'all, because maybe nobody deals with this with me, or maybe
no, you ain't the only one,
but like, I'm like, I have to talk myself through the steps. So I'm like, I really need to pee. The plane bathroom is there. Other people have gone.
Yes, they have.
So I try to wait till a time where there's not people in the bathroom, right? And then in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go in there, and I don't know what it looks like. It look like it could be a walk-in closet size. It could be a fucking, you know, the size of a gym locker. I don't know what's in there. And I start thinking, what's the worst thing that could happen? What if I go in there and a toilet gets stuck? What if I go in there and they out of tissue? What if I go in there and some water get on me? Like, you know, I just think about, you know, what if it's dirty in there? What if it's nasty? Like, shit like that. This is why I said I measure success by how many shits you can take in your own house. So I think about shit like that, right? There's all these elements of us. So I'm talking to myself as an adult, like in my voice, in my head is like, Rod, you're an adult. Everyone else has used the bathroom. They made it out fine.
Yeah, they did.
Everyone seems to be, it's normal. No one's staring at them. No, you didn't hear any sounds come from inside.
Right, nobody screamed.
Nobody walked out covered in blue shit or anything. Like, everyone was fine.
Liam Neeson is now on the plane, so I think you might be all
right. Right, there's no bomb. Like, just go in the bathroom, urinate. You'll be, it's whatever they have in there is designed for people to do this, you know. So I had to go in there and take that piss and shit. I just pissed, but I went in there and pissed. It was like, and then like, as I pissed, I'm like, why was I so worried about this? This is stupid. I'm an adult. Everyone does this. Urination is a natural factor of everyone's bodies. Well, you know, you were on a plane for 6 hours. This is a reasonable place
right,
to use the bathroom.
And you've been drinking the whole time.
Like I said, I'm telling y'all this, cause I know y'all won't tell anybody else, but but on the way back, I was back to the same, like, I don't want to use this bathroom. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to have to do. So, you know, I just drank the ginger ale or whatever, pissed. We were in Chicago for 45 minutes. Longest landing ever.
Oh, my God.
I felt like we
yes.
was landing for 20 minutes. Man, Chicago
yes.
big.
Yes.
I don't know if that was all Chicago. Well, maybe that was Joliette or whatever.
Maybe that was a wing. But goddamn, we landed and I was like, did we get stuck in 5 o'clock airplane traffic? Cause goddamn, we've been riding 15 minutes to get to the airport.
And we were flying so low, you could like see people and cars and shit. And I looked out the window, I turned all those white people. I said, oh my God, look at all that black on black crime.
And oh Lord.
I shot a couple niggas when we landed. I'm like, we in Chicago. You know?
What the hell is wrong with
you? When in Rome, right?
And you're so stupid. And also what was funny too, when we was, I think you may have had your headphones in, but when we was on the plane, it was funny though, because most of the time, I think we may have been like the only black folks in first class on all our flights.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hilarious though, because you could see the white people looking down at us, like, because our seats was like right behind the pilot.
Yeah.
So when people go to the bathroom, people could like look down there at us. So you could tell people looking at it like, belong here. And it was one brother. He looked so confused looking down at us. You didn't see him.
I don't know what
you saw that
hell.
Brother. Oh, yeah.
I thought he knew me or something. I was like, why you keep looking over here so hard?
He looked like, I can't believe y'all made it all the way up here.
See, I just thought honestly that he had to use the bathroom, because he it was someone in the bathroom when he walked up there and he had to wait on them to come out. So I just figured that he was probably like me, like he's probably talking to himself.
Leon,
you're gonna go in here and it's gonna be the bathroom, right? You're gonna stand up,
nothing else is gonna happen, nothing strange, it's all right.
Yeah, so we but nah man, the flights were cool. My mom came and picked us up from the airport. One thing we did, I'm getting used to now, this is our second time, but apparently if you go first class, you get your bags first too.
Yeah,
which means they could get everybody bags out faster. I'm just saying. But anyway, we got our bags first.
It was like
too.
You paid extra money, then because that what happened.
But I'm just saying that mean they can get all the brokies, all the regulars. Bags. They could get everybody bags out. It ain't
if
like
they wanted to.
Yeah,
right.
It's not like our bag came with a faster rocket on the back. Like
we all came on the same plane.
They know what they doing.
Come on,
when you got to sit up there and wait 2 hours to get your fucking bag, they know they could have did better. Anyway, my point being, we got the bags, and then and you know we had bought a couple of trinkets and stuff. We got a ornament for our tree.
Yes,
a little mini tree we have here. Which reminds me, we need to take our Christmas pictures so we can put it on the cards for everybody.
Yes.
Anyway, we did all that stuff, man, and got home, talked to my mom about it, got to the house, and that was it. And by the way, I was so sprung on that motherfucking Din Tai Fung. We went and found a dim sum place in Charlotte. It ain't the same. It ain't the same. But that's how much I was just so envious of y'all's Din Tai Fung.
Yeah, it ain't the same. It was
good.
It was a good substitute.
But it ain't the same.
No, it's about like we ever go to Miami again, I want to go to Little Havana.
Right, because we had Cuban food here. It ain't the same.
It ain't the same, y'all. I don't know. I mean, I was like, this ain't no good cafe con leche. I was like, boo.
No offense to our local cuisine.
Yeah, boo.
Just wasn't the same.
It wasn't. I guess we ain't met the right people that's like authentic. And right. It just was not the same. And shout out to Jose. He got me a Mr. Coffee and stuff like that. So I was able to kind of do it like that. It still ain't the same because I ain't got real good at it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still an experience. At least we got some. Like I said, we're going to start branching out and seeing if some of these places are here in Charlotte, which I guarantee they are. We just ain't found the right place yet.
Yep. So I think that's everything. I don't know how long this fucking episode is, but now you guys know. That's how PodCon was. It meant the world to me to meet everybody, to see everybody. Those who have been listening to the show for a long time, you know, getting to meet Rashani face to face was definitely a huge thing for me.
Yes, getting to talk to him and stuff, yes.
Yeah, like we had conflict a long time ago, and I think people really went so far with it. To you know, it takes on a life of its own, and we've since made up and everybody's been cool. We've been on each other's shows, all this shit. But it's something, like I said, I feel old school. It's something about seeing somebody, looking them dead in their face and letting them know, like, look man, we are cool. I need you to know we cool. I need, you know, like, you know, it's still something different when you tell somebody like, yo, this is important that you're here. I'm glad you're here. You know, I don't want to live in anger. I definitely don't want to do anything to impress people on the internet with like, you don't like that person, I don't like that person, shit like that. You know, I feel the same way I felt during the Firestarter thing, like when we got to meet Tone. in DC.
Yes. It's,
that was important to me because you know, the internet will consume you. It'll let people fight. They like to see these fights. Yeah, they like to see what, you know, they like to see people show out for company, and they don't value you after that. Mm-mm. Like, you just some entertainment to them.
Right. They just want to consume you, and that makes a big difference. And
so that meant a lot to me. Meeting Bacon meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. I've listened to her, to their podcast. Okay. Unreasonable Fridays
with Aaron.
Them and Aaron. I've listened to them. Also the Snarkylicious. We talk back and forth on Twitter all the time. You know, and our friends, you know, they're so beautiful, they're so funny, they're so engaging. Like, if I will be, it is an honor to see what the people who listen to us like to see them and their energy.
Yes.
Because that is a representation of you. And I know a lot of people that do shows and do media that they really can't meet their fans or don't want to because their fans are mean, they're nasty, they're, you know, like if the show is kind of about like being mean to people, then that's what your fans are going to kind of be about. If the show's about mocking a bunch of people, that's what your fans are going to be about. Our fans are such ambassadors.
Yes, they are.
Like, when I say people would come, strangers were coming up to us, they weren't coming up to us because it's Rod and Karen. They were coming up to us because they seen how other people felt about us.
Right.
And they seen how other people were treated about from us. And they seen how we treat, like, if some white person came over or something, or somebody, you know, like the dude who just wanted to ask about a podcast, you know, nobody was rude to this person or anything like that. It was like, okay, cool. What's going on with you? What are you about?
Right.
Like I said, it's just an honor. It's super humbling. I still, you know, love being home. You know, I ain't gonna lie. As soon as I got home, I was like, oh, I'll take my bra off, get these pants out, and just chill. You know,
that's like, real, honey. That's real. You talking about metaphorically, and I take them off for real.
But it was, you know, I still love being home. But like, our fans really do give us a home away from home wherever we go.
Yes, and I think the out of everything we did that weekend, the most joy that I have, and I probably will forever have it, and it started when we did NegroCon in DC, was to see the fans when we do live shows. Because, you know, me and Roger, we do this all the time. But to look out and see fans who actually see us on Spreecast, some of them on Crowdcast, some of them on Spreecast, some of y'all go all the way back to Vocal. You know, y'all been seeing us across the internet for years, and y'all been listening to us for years. But to come and to actually sing along with us, see our facial reactions, for us to look out and see the joy when y'all hear stuff you're familiar with, and like you said, it's like a live chat room. And it was just wonderful to see their joy and their happiness just to be with us as we take them on the journey. Like, that's priceless.
But people have made it very rewarding to step outside of my comfort zone. Like, all this stuff is outside my comfort zone, you know? Like, I don't mind creating and working hard and stuff, and I enjoy what we do for a living, but, I mean, I was a dude in a cubicle not that long ago, you know, not talking to my coworkers, trying to get by in the most inauspicious way possible, just trying to fit in a place where I really didn't feel like I belonged. You know, my whole life, my parents would, you know, be like, it's okay to be creative, but also have a backup plan, and your backup plan was your 40-hour week job or whatever, and go to college, and you know, you do these things that people tell you to do because they want to protect you, and especially as a black person, these are things that we tell our children to protect them, because we want to give them a safety net, because one wrong step for a black person and you can end up incarcerated, you can end up dead, you can end up
homeless,
all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Right. So these moments that I get to step outside and meet people and be accepted by people and let them know to return that back, like, this isn't an act, this isn't some shit that we just say because it sounds cool, and then when you meet people you like, oh, I can sense the fucking phoniness on this nigga, I hate this nigga, you know, like, you can sense that with certain folks. Like, it's not an act, you know. Like, I do want to see people. I do want to see people succeed. I do root for people. I do love that our show is a hub for people of different types of race, religion, creed, gender orientation, everything to kind of come together and be supported by each other, like a place where you don't have to like worry, like, am I gonna show right. up and they gonna ostracize me? Is it gonna be different for me because I'm not in the chat room every day? Right. Is it gonna be different for me because I'm an introvert? Is it gonna be different for me because I'm white? Like, I like that we have a place where it's like, come in, enjoy the party, enjoy the vibe, and vice versa. Like, they have made, y'all have made that possible for me too. So yes, it's empowering, but it's reaffirming, like, we doing the right thing, we on the right path, we talk about the right things, we you know, people are able to watch us grow, watch us change, and vice versa, they're able to grow and change along with us. We're able to challenge people, we're able to talk about difficult topics, we're able to still laugh, and all that stuff without, like, you know, fighting and ostracizing each other, kicking people out of blackness and trying to take people down or turning the show into just some nasty ass, like, fuck this person, fuck that person, every day, all day thing. Like, it's, we're able to kind of just be human and let other people be human in return, and I think that is such an achievement, but it's a testament more to the fans than it is even to us. You know, you just never know who's receiving your message, and when we, every time we've gone out, it has been affirmed, like, oh, these are good people. Like, these, I told Elon James this a long time ago. He was asking about the show, and he said, don't you want the most listeners possible? And I told him no. And he was like, well, wouldn't everybody? I said, not me. And I said, and I mean this, I don't want all the listeners, I only want the cool ones. And that stuff like this, I'm like, it's working. We right. got the cool ones. Like, they, we might not have the most people in this room, but we got all the fucking cool people in this room,
right?
You know, so that like I said, man, thank y'all so much. This is the greatest Christmas present we can have, is meeting people and really getting to know that we on the right path, we doing the right things. And, you know, like, as the insecurities and things and the challenges I've lived with in my life, the things that I think about in my head all the time, the anxiety, it's all worth it for these moments. Like, yeah, I, you know, felt like I was gonna throw up that morning. Sat there and talked to people for 2.5 hours, minutes later. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you know, I couldn't just say that for everything or everybody. So thank y'all so much.
Yeah, thank you. And something else, and I told them that I told them this there, and I may have said this on the show before. You guys come to us as an escape, and we do the podcast as an escape. So we are all running to the same spot as an
escape. To the promised land.
Yeah, actually to the promised land for an escape. For reality, from reality. And that means, you know, the world to us. And, you know, you guys are the reason why we got on Spotify. You know, you guys are the reason why Podomatic actually suggested us to Spotify, because, you know, we're normally, you know, top 1 to 3 consistently on their comedy and all their podcasts they do.
Yeah.
And that's not us, that's you. You know, you guys are the reason that we even got on the radio for PodCon. All this right. is you guys. Like,
if it hadn't have been for NegroCon, I don't know if we would got PodCon. I don't know how they heard of us, but, you know, if they thought to themselves, look, we want a podcast with a black audience that show the people that show up, then I'm sure that, you know, NegroCon couldn't have hurt. All them pictures and stuff, like, oh, these people are doing live shows and people are coming out to see them. That's the fans doing that. You know, like, these, you know, these things that I didn't think were possible, I believe in now because of them, like, because of y'all. That's not our doing. A lot of people do a podcast, a lot of people create content, everybody ain't listening, everybody ain't showing up, and your tribe, your flock, your crew, your people, those are who, that's who, you don't get to control who those people are. But it's been, like I said, it's just affirming, and we thank you guys. So yeah, we'll be back tomorrow for just a regular ass show, maybe a Walking Dead recap Monday or something, I don't know, but we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Thank y'all so for just existing and like I said, loving us back. And I'll get you guys that audio as soon as I do, because I think y'all are gonna really enjoy the panels.
Yes,
and some of our points
are.
We made, and hopefully the same thing that happened on those panels will happen if I put the audio up. You guys will get introduced to some podcasts and go, oh, I hadn't heard of them, I want to check them out now. So all right, that's it. that was Seattle. That was everything. Felt like Karen was never on camera. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. My computer was like, you know, we're gonna reboot and we're gonna give you all the updates. We 45% updating, y'all. It's like we gonna start several times. So about the past hour and a half, my computer been like, oh, let's reboot. Like,
yeah, if you're in the chat, all you've been saying is me. But anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.